It takes honor. It takes courage. It takes commitment to serve in our armed forces and sacrifice for our freedom. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, reminding you how we can honor those sacrifices of our men and women. Come join us for the Northern California Veterans Museum annual dinner, banquet, and auction, Saturday, April 27th at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Enjoy a banquet dinner prepared by BC Stone Age Barbecue. Lots of drawings and auction items, including several firearms. All proceeds go straight to the funding of the Northern California Veterans Museum building project. For tickets and information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Keep the date, Saturday, April 27th. We look forward to a great evening with you. Again, call 378-2280.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to today. We'll talk about the Democrats clashing with the socialists. We'll check the mailbag, but we begin today with an undercovered and deeply important story. Facebook is starting to look to the federal government for help in censoring your viewpoints. We have now moved from social media as capitalist companies to social media as government-enabled companies. That is where these big companies are seeking to go. There's this grand failure to understand how exactly big business sometimes works. People tend to say, well, big business, rapacious, exploitative, capitalist pigs. Here's the reality. Big businesses are in the business of profit seeking. When you have a giant government, and that giant government can increase your profit margins by issuing regulations, companies will work hand in glove with the government. Corporatism is not, in fact, fair use of the free market. It is not, in fact, use of the free market at all. It is use of the government to do your bidding for you. And once the government is so big that it can threaten your company, then many companies have a binary choice, and that is they can either work hand in glove with the government to help quash their competitors, and they can say they are friends to the government, or they can fight the government. And you see this historically with, for example, the car companies. So Henry Ford famously resisted the unionization efforts at Ford. He resisted the government cramdowns of the FDR administration. He did not want to abide by their rules and regulations, and he fought them tooth and nail, whereas other car companies just went along with the government, and Ford kept losing market share because of all of that. Well, the same thing is happening right now in the social media sphere. Basically, there are all these major social media companies, and the government actors see power in regulating a lot of these major companies. And so the major companies have two choices. One is they can fight the government. They can go to the public and say, listen, you need to tell the government to lay off and leave us alone. Or the easier path is often to go to the government and say, listen, regulate us. But when you do regulate us, understand that what you're really doing is regulating everybody else who is smaller. This was a lot of the net neutrality debate. There were major companies on both sides of that debate. Google, for example, was very much in favor of net neutrality because it prevented broadband carriers from charging them for things that it essentially crowded lower down competitors out of the search engine market. That's why Google was in favor of net neutrality. It wasn't out of any goodness of their heart or anything. Big companies have an interest in working hand in glove with the government. Well, the latest company to do this is, of course, Facebook. So Facebook is now begging the government to censor it. I am not kidding you. Facebook wants censorship at this point. So Mark Zuckerberg was on with George Stephanopoulos, and he says that he wants the federal government to regulate speech. Why? Because he recognizes that Facebook is getting beaten up for its own failures to, on the one hand, censor speech, and on the other hand, they censor too much speech. So what he wants to do is kick the responsibility over to the federal government and thereby remove himself from the process. This is what he says to George Stephanopoulos. He poses this in terms of the public good. He says, I want more regulation in my company. Whenever somebody who's the head of a company says, I want the government to regulate my company, understand there's an ulterior motive. You guys come after me, and that way it's not my fault, that way it's your fault. Well, that's not the role of government. And it's very dangerous to have folks in corporate life who are very powerful, like Zuckerberg, calling for this to be the role of government, because you could see a world in which House Democrats take Zuckerberg up on this. So when Zuckerberg explicitly calls for a violation of the First Amendment by the government in response to his own inability to police his own site, that's a problem. Again, the answer to all of this was for Zuckerberg always to say, I created a platform. I'm like AT&T. All I did was provide a forum where people can talk. Again, this is more in response to pressures from government than it is in response to an actual necessity on Facebook for censors to shut down speech. Why? Because here's what they are doing in Europe. According to a leaked plan from the United Kingdom, social media bosses could be liable for harmful content. There's been growing concern, this is according to The Guardian, about the role of the internet in distribution of material related to terrorism, child abuse, self-harm, and suicide, and ministers have been under pressure to act. Under plans expected to be published on Monday, the government will legislate for a new statutory duty of care to be policed by an independent regulator and likely to be funded through a levy on media companies. In other words, they're going to tax Facebook to police Facebook. And the way they're going to police Facebook is by fining or jailing people like Mark Zuckerberg if they do not take a quote-unquote duty of care to prevent bad material from getting on their platforms. It seems to me the reason we pay taxes is so that the police can prevent crime. We don't shut down phone lines because criminals often use phones, and we don't hold AT&T responsible for criminals using their phones. It is obvious that we have been treating these social media companies not as common carriers, not as platforms. Instead, we have been treating them as actual editorial sites, and that's why they're seeking to blame people like Zuckerberg. The regulator, likely initially to be something called Ofcom, but in the longer term a new body, will have the power to impose substantial fines against companies that breach their duty of care and to hold individual executives personally liable. The debate has been sharpened in recent months by the case of the British teenager Molly Russell and the issues raised by the Christchurch shootings. Molly's parents said she killed herself partly because of self-harm images viewed on social media. Okay, well, self-harm images are not threats of violence. They're horrible. They're terrible. But it is up to individual people not to look at things that are going to hurt you unless it is an actual attempt to hurt you. Right? The rights come along with duties. Rights come along with responsibilities. If we as individuals can't be trusted to participate in a free speech society, the answer isn't to curb free speech. The answer is that we better do some introspection and figure out how we are utilizing our free speech in a bad way. Other proposals in the online harm white paper include government powers to direct the regulator on specific issues such as terrorist activity or child sexual exploitation, annual transparency costs, there are transparency reports from social media companies disclosing the prevalence of harmful content on their platforms. What exactly constitutes harmful content? Are we going to have the U.S. government determining what content is harmful? Especially when, in New Zealand, they're legitimately attempting to prosecute people for reading a manifesto online. Is that something we want in the United States? The manifesto is evil, of the Christchurch shooter. Do we want people prosecuted for downloading it and reading it so that they know what's bad? Do we want the same people who think that it is a good thing that Jordan Peterson's book was temporarily banned from White Coles, a bookseller in New Zealand, over the Christchurch shooting, those would be the same people sitting on boards like this. And that is what Mark Zuckerberg is calling for. It's incredibly dangerous. In Europe, obviously, they don't have the same sort of free speech protections, which is one of the reasons I'm incredibly glad I'm an American. Both right and left in Europe are far more comfortable with curbing free speech than we are in the United States. Theresa May has repeatedly raised the issue of online harm. The government has gradually shifted its position in Britain from favoring voluntary self-regulation to backing tougher enforcement. And why is this good for Zuckerberg? Because now Zuckerberg can simply say, it's not in my hands. The government is regulating it. I just have to comply with government regulations. All the free speech issues are kicked over to the government level. The only losers in this? American citizens and citizens abroad who are now subject to the government deciding what messages they can and cannot see. This is dangerous stuff. And Zuckerberg is not the creator of the danger, but he is complicit in the increase of the danger if he doesn't stand up for the free speech, the sort of free speech basis for the platform that he built in the first place. We'll get to more of this in just a second, the tech companies caving to kind of social justice warriors and then looking to hand it over to government. It's pretty amazing. We'll get to it in 1 second. First, I know this is an awkward thing to talk about, but sex, especially within marriage, is one of the crucial aspects of a healthy life. And like any other aspect of our health, sometimes things don't work the way they're supposed to. That really isn't something you should be ashamed about. It's just a medical issue. A headache isn't something to be ashamed about. That's where our friends at Roman come in. Studies show that 70% of dudes who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication direct to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete a dynamic online visit, chat with a doctor, and get genuine medication delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Dudes, go online, get checked by a doctor. There's no reason to put this off. Erectile dysfunction, it's a problem guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro. For a free online visit, once more, GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, speaking of social media companies botching their job, Google on Thursday announced that it opted to disband its newly formed Artificial Intelligence Ethics Council following aggressive pushback from more than 2,000 Google employees. What happened? Well, a Google spokesperson in a statement said Google is going back to its drawing board. Why? It became clear that in the current environment, the council can't function as we wanted. So we are ending the council. We're going back to the drawing board. Google had announced its new AI Ethics Board, a body tasked with serving as an ethical check on Google's AI technology production last week. The board was immediately met with controversy as thousands of Google employees and hundreds of external petitioners took issue with one of the board's members, who they said had an anti-trans and anti-immigrant record. Who was this? K. Cole James, who's president of the Heritage Foundation. That is a mainstream conservative organization, and K. Cole James is about as mainstream a conservative as you can find. But because she believes that men are men and women are women, and she believes that we should have border security, this means that she cannot be present in a hearing between multiple viewpoints about AI ethics. A petition from Google employees, signed by almost 2,400 of them, said by appointing James, Google elevates and endorses her views, implying that hers is a valid perspective worthy of inclusion in its decision-making. This is unacceptable. In other words, her views are not even valid. They are not even valid. So what did Google do? Instead of standing up to the own internal mob, these are all their employees, instead of them standing up to their own internal mob and just saying, guys, cool your jets. We have a wide variety of perspectives on this panel. This is a mainstream conservative pound sand. Instead, they caved and they disbanded their own board. These tech companies are just cowards. They're legitimately cowards. They won't stand up for freedom of speech or diversity of opinion on their own internal boards, let alone in their public policy. And now they are calling for the government to come in and regulate. And of course, who will that affect the most? It'll affect alternatives. Because if you regulate Google or you regulate Facebook, let's say that there's a new Google or Facebook who wants to come up, and they don't want to regulate speech in the same way that Facebook and Google do. They want to have a broader platform. It's too late. The government's already regulated the entire industry. So it's now impossible for you to actually create an alternative to Facebook or Google. Once the government regulates this sort of stuff, by the way, then you are looking at true monopoly. You really are. People have said, well, shouldn't we break up Google or break up Facebook? And I've always said, no, these are private companies. Rivals can crop up. And those rivals could take a different viewpoint on how to build an algorithm or what kind of free speech to allow. Right? It's a private company. Once the government regulates, that is no longer the case. Then you have to start regulating these things like monopolies, because effectively they are. The AI Ethics Council is over and we did this together, the Googlers Against Transphobia account tweeted. So many people answered the call to stand against transphobia. We thank you for your support and unwillingness to compromise on hate. One of the council's members dropped out almost immediately after the council was announced. Leading behavior economist and privacy researcher Alessandro Acquisti last week tweeted, I'd like to share that I've declined the invitation to the council. While I'm devoted to research grappling with key ethical issues of fairness, rights, and inclusion in AI, I don't believe this is the right forum for me. On Wednesday, another one of the council members, Luciano Florida, a leading AI expert, wrote that James's inclusion was a grave error and sends the wrong message. In other words, any conservative cannot be part of the Google board. I mean, this sort of top-down idiocy at these major social media companies combined with government power turns this from a company sucking at its job to an actual monopoly issue. Okay, in a second, we will get to the old guard Democrats. But first, can you believe it's already April? Time has a habit of getting away, but if you've got a mortgage or kids or anyone, depending on your income, you're going to have to spend some of that precious time getting life insurance. Policy Genius is the easy way to buy life insurance online. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and you can find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. No commissions, no hidden fees, just more time saved for you. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They also make it easy to find the right home insurance, auto insurance, or disability insurance. They're your one-stop shop for financial protection. So if you need life insurance, but you're short on time, head on over to PolicyGenius.com and compare quotes. Policy Genius is easy, it saves you money, and not to belabor the point, but it's fast. Policy Genius, spend less time comparing life insurance and more time doing legitimately anything else. Go check them out over at PolicyGenius.com. Be a responsible adult. Make sure that your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, something should happen to you. And again, you can check them out for home insurance or auto insurance or disability insurance, too. Check them out over at PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius, the easiest place to find and buy life insurance. Go check them out right now. Coming up, we'll take a look at the 2020 race where the Democratic old guard is facing down the fresh-faced socialists. So who's going to win? I put my money on the revolutionaries. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com. Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the 2020 race is heating up, and the list just goes on and on and on. There's a top tier. The top tier is probably four or five people. It's basically Biden, Bernie, Beto. It's the three Bs, plus Kamala Harris. That I would say that that's probably the top tier in the Democratic Party right now. By polling data, that's the top tier in the Democratic Party right now. And Biden is the one who is in trouble, shockingly enough, without any real rationale, I got to say. Like, again, because he did not have the courage of his convictions, because he was unwilling to simply come out and say, listen, I've never sexually harassed anyone. I've never sexually abused anyone. And if people were offended, I'm sorry. I'm just a physically affectionate guy. Instead of him just saying that and letting it go, he had to kowtow to the mob. It's not going to stop. Once you kowtow to the mob, it never stops, ever. You never apologize to the mob is the rule of modern American politics. If you don't apologize to the mob like Ralph Northam, you're still governor of Virginia. If you do apologize to the mob like Al Franken, you no longer have a Senate seat. That's the way this works. It's unfortunate, but that is the way that it works. And we are now supposed to take seriously every allegation of something terrible happening. I mentioned yesterday one of the allegations from a woman named Sophie Karasek, a survivor's rights advocate and progressive organizer who appeared at the Oscars with Lady Gaga. And she now has a piece in the Washington Post called "A Photo of Me and Joe Biden Went Viral. I Want Him to Take Ownership for His Actions." This is the one I talked about yesterday, where this lady took the photo, had it printed, had it framed, put it on her bookshelf, and then decided 2 to 3 years later that it was actually a very, very bad thing. Very, very bad. She apparently interacted with Biden 2 months later at a conference in Colorado. She said, quote, "I was eager to tell him about the good the photo had done, so I zipped in line to greet him. Sophie, he exclaimed, and we talked about the photo. The interaction was completely normal. I felt proud then. But as time passed, I began to feel a sense of shame and belittlement every time I saw the photo. So over time, it started to offend you, and this is Joe Biden's fault? No one can live by these constantly shifting standards in the Democratic Party. Now, the thing about this sort of mentality is that the revolutionaries are usually the first to the guillotine, meaning that sooner or later, these people will be hoisted by their own petard. Biden is one of them, by the way. He's one of the people who pushed for lowering standards when it came to proving sexual misconduct in Title IX cases, for example. But Biden is now being shellacked by his own party for stuff that even the people who were the quote-unquote victims did not consider victimization at the time. That's how far we have moved. And the worm has turned. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, I'm old enough to remember when Nancy Pelosi was the great radical inside her own party. Now she's the establishment, holding back the radicals. For example, yesterday, Bernie Sanders tweeted this out. He tweeted out, those who oppose Medicare for all need to explain why our current failed system should be allowed to continue bankrupting the American people. Okay, well, then Nancy Pelosi comes out and she's like, you know that Medicare for all thing? Not a great idea. If he really opposes Medicare for all, by the way, if he's upset with Medicare for all, I mean, with opponents of Medicare for all, you know who he should talk to? Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama is the creator of that system he's criticizing right there. When Bernie Sanders says, if you stand for the current system, you're standing for high costs on people, who does he think constructed the current system? He voted for it, by the way. It was Barack Obama and Joe Biden who, as I recall, said to Barack Obama that the new system was a big effing deal. A phrase that was so popular among Democrats that it was sold on a t-shirt by the DNC. It's the old guard Democrats versus the newfangled socialists. This is why Speaker Nancy Pelosi is out of step with her own party. She questioned today whether a healthcare proposal embraced by several Democratic presidential candidates would be too expensive and failed to provide the same coverage as the Affordable Care Act. Instead, she suggested she'd rather build on Obamacare, is yet to be convinced the Medicare for All proposal pushed by many liberals would achieve its purported goals. She said in an interview with the Washington Post, quote, I'm agnostic. Show me how you think you can get there. We all share the value of healthcare for all Americans, quality, affordable healthcare for all Americans. What is the path to that? I think it's the Affordable Care Act. And if that leads to Medicare for All, that may be the path. She also suggested that Medicare for All had become more of a buzzword among political activists in the run-up to the 2020 campaign, which is basically her ripping on all the 2020 candidates saying, you guys are ignoring the effect of Obamacare so that you can run for president. She says, when most people say they're for Medicare for All, I think they mean health care for all. Let's see what that means. A lot of people love having their employer-based insurance, and the Affordable Care Act gave them better benefits, which is not actually true, but sure. The fact that Nancy Pelosi has now been castigated as out of the mainstream by her own party is pretty telling. The fact that Joe Biden is now considered retrograde by his own party demonstrates that when you have no fundamental principles to which you adhere, it is pretty easy for you to be cast overboard by the newer, more robust socialists among you. It's pretty incredible. Meanwhile, President Trump, facing challenges of his own, apparently Michael Cohen now, I guess he's trying to cut a better deal or something. He's trying to delay his prison time. According to the Washington Times, President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, says he has new information to offer Democrats if authorities reduce or delay his upcoming 3-year prison sentence. First of all, I'm not sure what he thinks he's doing. He is a bad lawyer, obviously, but his plea agreement says he had to be completely forthcoming with prosecutors all the way through. If he says that now he has new material, that means he was not forthcoming before, so they could theoretically revoke his sentence and give him a new, longer sentence. In a letter to lawmakers on Thursday, Cohen's attorneys say he has discovered substantial files on a hard drive that could help investigations of the president. So now he's trying to become a hero of the resistance. The hard drive is said to include over 14 million files consisting of all emails, voice recordings, images, and attachments from Cohen's computers and phones. But Cohen has already testified that he has no actual evidence of Russian collusion, even though he is trying to float such evidence now to Democrats. According to a memo that he apparently sent to Democrats, he said that he would provide significant value to the various congressional oversight and investigation committees. Honestly, this may be more of a threat to Democrats than it is to Trump, because Cohen probably doesn't have much that is new, but Democrats could continue to spiral down this hole and never recover. If they focus in here, I'm not sure that's a smart strategy for them. In just a second, got to give you the Jussie Smollett update, and then we'll get to some mailbagging because it's Friday. All right, coming up, updates on the Jussie Smollett case. Jussie Smollett now facing down the possibility of $130,000 that...
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
all over again. DreamWorks Shrek the Musical is live on stage at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th.
And then I saw her face.
The characters you love, the magic you can't resist, Shrek the Musical is hysterically funny. People of all ages will enjoy this show. Shrek the Musical at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th. Tickets on sale now. Call 530-243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org. Believe it.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Vodka
and Cool April Night
is back April 20th through the 28th.
Over a week of classic fun.
So dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th, and get your tickets now for the main event with over 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 27th.
So get your car registered today.
Discount advance tickets are available at all Napa Auto Parts stores. Avoid the lines and buy yours now. Don't miss the 30th annual Cool April Night, April 20th through April 28th.
Oh, baby, Cool April Nights is coming. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. Cool April Nights is sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Visit Reading, Marquis Shasta, Block Beverage, Napa Auto Parts, Action News, Reading McDonald's, and this radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So obviously, we watched closely as Jussie Smollett's case fell apart. We watched when his case was dismissed by the state's attorney in Chicago. And now we have updates. So apparently, Jussie Smollett has now refused to pay. Chicago had sent Jussie Smollett a bill for like $130,000, which, by the way, he can afford to pay. He made apparently about $100,000 an episode from Empire. Well, now the city of Chicago is going to sue him. Last week, the Cook County state attorney, they dropped 16 counts against Smollett, of course. The decision caused an uproar in Chicago. Mayor Rahm Emanuel and other officials blasted the prosecutor's office. 2 days later, the city's Department of Law sent Smollett a bill in the amount of $130,000 and gave him a week to pay up. That deadline expired on Thursday afternoon. The law department issued a statement saying it was drafting a lawsuit. They said Mr. Smollett has refused to reimburse the city of Chicago for the cost of police overtime spent investigating his false police report on January 29, 2019. The law department is now drafting a civil complaint that will be filed in the circuit court of Cook County. The law department will file the suit in the near future. As part of this legal action, the law department will pursue the full measure of damages allowed under the ordinance. Smollett, of course, had falsely claimed that he was jumped while walking on the street at 2 a.m. on the way back from Subway by two white guys wearing red hats who used racial and homophobic slurs and shouted that it was MAGA country. And now he is going to be sued for $130,000. Meanwhile, the real scandal here is the prosecutor in this particular case, Kim Fox, who has significant political connections to Team Obama. Yesterday, the police union called on Kim Fox to resign her job.
We are here today. We're very grateful for the top police officials who are here with one united voice to demand the resignation of Cook County State's Attorney Kimberly Fox. This is not just about Jussie Smollett. This is about many cases in the Cook County system that have gone unprosecuted or having charges reduced. And what she's doing is she's enabling the offenders. The bad guys are not being held accountable. So today we're here to ask State's Attorney Fox to do the right thing, to step down and resign from her position.
Okay, and this has been the commonly held position among the police chiefs all over the city of Chicago. Suburban police chiefs and the Fraternal Order of Police called out Kim Fox yesterday, and they suggested that she needed to resign over the case. A group of suburban police chiefs joined with the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police. They gave her a vote of no confidence Thursday. The Fraternal Order of Police President Kevin Graham and some other 30 suburban police leaders took it a step further. They called on Fox to resign, and that's what you just heard. Fox's office would not respond. They said, "I was elected by the people of Cook County to pursue community safety, prevent harm, and uphold the values of fairness and equal justice. I'm proud of my record in doing that. I plan to do so through the end of my term, and if the people will so will it, into the future." Graham said the union's issues with Fox's office didn't start with Jussie Smollett. He expressed frustration that Fox's office had dropped murder charges against Gabriel Solash and Arturo Reyes in late 2017 after a judge threw out their confessions. At the time, Fox's then-top assistant said the office still believed the two had fatally stabbed a couple in their Bucktown neighborhood home in 1998, but had no choice to dismiss the charges after the judge discredited testimony by a retired detective. Since mid-2016, about a dozen convictions tied to that particular detective had been thrown out of court because of allegations that the former detective beat suspects and coerced confessions. Apparently, Fox, this ticked off the Fraternal Order of Police. So, yeah, listen, the Chicago Police Department has had a bevy of problems, but that's really not the case when it comes to this particular case. This particular Smollett case was interviewed all the way down to the ground, and the fact that Kim Fox decided not to prosecute is pretty astonishing. Meanwhile, speaking of law and order, the situation on the border continues to degrade. The crisis on the border continues to move ahead. We spoke yesterday on the radio show with a member of the Border Patrol down in San Diego who said that the crisis was essentially historic. He said he'd never really seen much like this. Tens of thousands of people descending on the border en masse. President Trump doesn't really know what to do because nobody knows what to do. Nobody really knows what to do. So the fact is that Democrats are not providing the funding. President Trump needs the funding in order to secure the border. And media are now beginning to cover this. And so what do Democrats do? Do they take seriously the problems at the border? No, of course they don't take seriously the problems at the border. So Lawrence Jones is a reporter for Fox News. Okay, he went down to the border and he put on a flak jacket. And the reason he put on a flak jacket is because in this particular area, there had been a case of 12 Mexican Marines wounded in a shootout in the nearby area. This is like a couple of weeks ago. That is March 26, 2018 from the Associated Press. A Mexican Marine and four suspected gunmen were killed during a coordinated series of ambushes against Marine patrols in a northern Mexico border city, authorities reported on Sunday. So Lawrence Jones goes down there, and he is told by the Border Patrol, put on this flak jacket, because we just don't know what we're going to encounter out there. So what does AOC do, naturally? Fresh-faced Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, very fresh, very face. She tweeted out, "Does live from Party City? Fox is really out here doing the most on a budget to make the border look more dangerous than it is." And then she tweeted the laughing, crying emoji, as though the border is not a dangerous place. So this idea that the border is a perfectly safe place, that's the myth. That's the myth, that the border is a perfectly safe. You literally have an organized criminal outfit that has killed legitimately thousands and thousands of people in Mexico sitting right on the other side of that border. And we're supposed to believe that it's somehow out of bounds for a reporter to wear a flak vest? It's just insane. It's just insane. You know, Howard Schultz, who turns out to be maybe the only reasonable person in the 2018 race, I mean, it's amazing. The former CEO of Starbucks, one of the few sane people, apparently, running for office. And he's sane because he's really not from the political, he's really not from a political party at this point. He pointed out yesterday on Fox News that President Trump is correct on securing the border, which is obviously and eminently true.
President Trump is correct, and the Republican leadership is correct, that we need fierce, strict levels of control on that border to keep bad people from coming in. Illegal immigrants should not come in. I don't want to get into a wall or anything, but I agree we should fund whatever we need to do to secure the border. The Democrats are not correct. We should be funding ICE and giving them all the tools and resources they need to secure the borders and arrest the bad people.
Okay, that is, of course, true. But Howard Schultz is considered an outcast from his own party because he says those things. I mean, the Democrats' response to this effectively is, not only should we not police the border, we should catch and release everybody. And when we release them, what should we do? What should we do with them? How are we going to integrate them into the American economy? We should teach them coding. I am not kidding you. Ro Khanna, who is a congressperson from out here in California, Democratic congressperson from out here in California, he says that what we need to do is bring everybody through and then we can teach them coding. Why is this the solution to everything except for journalism? If you say to a journalist on Twitter, learn to code, they will suspend you. If you're a congressperson who says we should teach illegal immigrants, many of whom do not have a high school education, how to code, then this is somehow a solution to the border crisis.
There's no doubt that the numbers of people coming over has increased. That's a fact. Vanderbilt has done a study that one of the real reasons that people are coming over is an increase in violence. I believe we need to have U.S. aid programs that are working, that are decreasing the violence there, that are teaching people about coding so people stay there, so folks aren't coming across the border.
So we're going to teach them to code in Honduras is the idea here? Yeah, good solutions, guys. Well, really, well done. That's definitely going to fix things. Okay, in a second, we will get to the mailbag. First, when it comes to improving the look and feel of your home without spending a fortune, a lot of us have ideas, but we don't know where to start. Well, thanks to SelectBlinds.com, upgrading your home is so easy, it's a no-brainer. Score amazing deals on blinds, shades, and shutters today from SelectBlinds.com. Select Blinds will make an instant impact on the way you look at your space. Swap out those tired old window coverings for high-quality, easy-to-install blinds. With products you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows, SelectBlinds.com is the easy way to upgrade. Select Blinds takes the guesswork out of ordering blinds online by offering high-quality blinds for an incredible price. After those new blinds are taken care of, get back to the important stuff, like relaxing in your new improved space. Read more than 300,000 reviews from a million happy customers at SelectBlinds.com. It's easy to see why they've been featured on TLC, HGTV, and Netflix. Select Blinds really is the simple and smart way to get blinds. To get the best deals on blinds, shades, and shutters, shop now at SelectBlinds.com. Mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu. Select Blinds. Simple. Smart. Custom. SelectBlinds.com. No reason to suffer with those ugly, ugly window coverings. Go check them out at SelectBlinds.com right now and improve yourself. Select Blinds. Simple, smart, and custom. So let's do some mailbag. Josiah says, "Hi, Ben. I listened to much of your conversation with Joe Rogan. When you were talking about decriminalizing marijuana, it makes me wonder how to sell this to religious communities. I had a good conversation with my pastor about it. Well, I think he made a great point in saying if we were to vote for decriminalization or legalization, he felt he would be signaling approval for the usage. I tried to rebut by saying when we do things the right way or God's way, it works. The war on drugs is a complete failure. I said it was sinful because we as Christians weren't being a good steward of God's money or resources. Though he agreed, he refused to ever vote to decriminalize or legalize marijuana. Most of the parishioners in my church are much less open-minded to that conversation. I respect people's moral opposition. It just seems like a giant waste of money to me. Do most people in your synagogue disagree with you? Well, I would say that there's a pretty broad disagreement in my synagogue and in religious communities generally about decriminalization of marijuana. So what is a good way to convince the religious community that the government is obviously not competent enough to deal with the issue? Well, I think that the first thing that you have to recognize is that just because something is bad doesn't mean that the government gets to regulate it. I do not like using the government as the imprimatur of appropriate behavior. I don't think that's the government's role. And in fact, I think it's been a huge mistake for conservatives to use government action as a sort of moral substitute for social disapproval. So we disapprove of something, therefore we pass a law against it, and then we use that law to crack down on the behavior. And then when we fail at cracking down on the behavior, then we legalize the behavior, and now the moral imprimatur is taken away, and people think it's okay to do something. I don't think that's how we should view things. I don't think politicians are moral leaders. I don't think that laws are about installing a quote-unquote moral system. They're about preventing harm to others. Installing moral systems is something you do in your home. Installing moral systems is something you do in your religious community. Yes, there's more of an onus on churches to take responsibility for their members when it comes to the use of marijuana or overuse or abuse of marijuana. If you were to decriminalize it, presumably it would become more common in particular areas. But that is not an argument in favor of the government simply enforcing your views on someone who no harm to anyone else. Externality is the measure of what a government ought to do. So you really ought to discover, you really ought to discuss what government is there to do and then move from there rather than talk about whether it is moral or not to smoke pot, because I don't think these two questions have to do with anything. I mean, this is basically the conversation that I had with Joe, not only on marijuana use, but also on same-sex marriage. I said that the government does not have a role here. That does not mean that I personally am in favor of same-sex marriage, because I'm not. Steven says, hey, Ben, what are you looking for in Episode 9 to save Star Wars, or do you think there's no hope after The Last Jedi? I think it's very difficult to imagine a universe in which they can recover from what they did, not only in The Last Jedi, but from Force Awakens. I thought Force Awakens was wildly overrated. I think that they should, honestly, listen, if it were up to, they're never going to do this. It's a $1 billion industry. If it weren't for that, they should throw out episodes 7, 8, and presumably 9. They should go back and they should throw out episodes 1, 2, and 3, and they should start over. As I've said before, what they should have done after episode 6 is they should have either skipped forward 100 years and then relaunched an entirely new Star Wars universe, or they should have actually recast all of the characters after Return of the Jedi. I mean, they did it for Solo, and then just moved on with the story. That would have made a lot more sense than simply killing off these characters in the dumbest possible way to make room for new and significantly more boring characters. Also, they made a huge mistake in not allowing Rey and Kylo Ren to team up. That would have been so much more interesting. So much more interesting. Like, this whole, okay, now we're going to revert back to Kylo Ren as Darth Vader and Rey as Luke. We saw that story already. We don't need the same story again. Adiel says, hey, Ben, I'm writing a paper on affirmative action. What would you say is the biggest issue with the policy, specifically in regard to post-secondary education? Well, there are two major issues with affirmative action. Issue number one is it doesn't actually tend to help the people that it seeks to help. There's not a lot of data to demonstrate that affirmative action has been effective in increasing the upward mobility of people who benefit from affirmative action. Dropout rates are significantly higher for people who get into college through affirmative action. It also creates a widespread perception that people who are of the race that has benefited from affirmative action are somehow unqualified because probably they got in, or maybe they got in, or possibly they got in through affirmative action. It does create a certain level of social stigma. If you look at your class and you say, well, I know some of these people got in with lower SAT scores, and I can tell who they are, probably, or at least possibly based on race, that creates an unfair stigma on a bunch of people who may have gotten in not based on that. And that's really not a great thing. Then there is the question of who is being excluded by affirmative action, and typically, it is not actually white people, it is Asian people. Asian people are outperforming at major colleges across the country. This has been true of Harvard, where a lawsuit is now going on the basis of all of this. Using standard metrics is a far better way of admitting students than this ridiculous, holistic examination of your college essay. So you got 200 points less on the SAT, but you had a hard life. And so we are going to pretend that that is the equivalent of an Asian person who had a hard life, but got 200 points higher on the SAT. Race does not make up for performance when it comes to these issues. Again, if you have two people, when they have the same SAT scores and one had a harder life than the other, race as a factor or not, then fine. I mean, that's good. That person who has the harder life has overcome more to get the same scores. But if you're talking about letting in someone with a 1200 SAT to Harvard because that person was of a particular race, that is obviously a separation of human beings by race and an aspect of racism that is quite unpleasant. Coming up, more from the Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So every Friday here, we answer your questions in the mailbag. Let's jump back in. Jonathan says, "Hey Ben, long-time listener, first-time subscriber. I have a cousin who attends USC. She loves her time there. However, she's afraid. She's a diehard Ben Shapiro subscriber because she's afraid of being criticized. I know her story is not the only one. That breaks my heart. I live in Texas. I'm starting to feel the same pressures, especially from Robert Francis supporters. That would be better. Do you see any end to conservatives having to hide what they think in order to keep their friends? Thank you for your hard work. Keep up the good work." Well, no, I don't see an end to that. In fact, I see a censorious left that is looking to harm people who disagree. I have a great story about this, in fact, from the College Fix today. Quote, "One evening last September, a Michigan State student university awoke from his nap to see his roommate sitting at his computer. There was a video playing, and the student realized his roommate was watching a video of conservative commentator Ben Shapiro. The newly awoken student then took to his own computer to file a complaint with the administration's bias reporting system against his roommate for watching the Shapiro video. Ben Shapiro is known for his inflammatory speech that criticizes and attacks the African-American community," the student wrote in his report against his roommate. I'd like to see any evidence that I've attacked the African-American community, like legitimate evidence. He says, I thought hate had no place on MSU's campus. Yet MSU has roomed me with someone who supports hate speech, spelled S-P-E-A-C-H. Okay, Shapiro is a popular conservative pundit, says the College Fix, whose appearances on college campuses are frequently accompanied with protests. In response, the university tasked an investigator to look into the matter who is told to work for a room change if the claimant would like one. First of all, if I were the other student, I'd be like, yeah, get this person out of here because this person is crazy. You know, if my roommate in college were watching Rachel Maddow, I wouldn't file a complaint. And that's a near human rights violation, for goodness sake. But no, the tolerance is not going to be extended anytime soon. Raphael says, hey, Ben, I agree that abortion is a sin and immoral. However, in my opinion, the government should allow it with proper education in cases of rape. The argument that it is the person's responsibility since they did not use contraceptives and they chose to have sex does not apply in rapes. What is the pro-life position in this case? And in your opinion, is there a valid argument to be made for this kind of policy? Well, the pro-life position is not dependent on the quote-unquote responsibility of the person because, again, the actual pro-life position has to do with the status of the human life growing in the womb. It's actually a separate question, the quote-unquote responsibility. Responsibility adds to the mix in the sense that if there is a predictable result to the thing that you are voluntarily doing and then that result happens, you can't throw up your hands and go, oh, my God, I was victimized by life. That's just silly. But that's really not what we are trying. We're not trying to punish somebody with a baby. That's not the idea here, right? As Barack Obama said, punishing somebody with a baby. You don't want to punish her with a baby. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about protecting the life of an infant. We are talking about protecting the incipient life of a baby. And that really has nothing to do with where the responsibility lies. It has to do with the idea that you are not allowed to kill a baby because the original creation of the baby was not your responsibility. In other words, if somebody leaves a baby on my doorstep, right, and I open the door and there's the baby, and then I shut the door and I just leave the baby out there to die, that's not something that we should presumably morally be okay with. Now, in Western law, this is one of the dicier issues in Western law. In Western law, the question is there a duty of care that attends a person who you are not related to, right? What is the duty? So in Western law, we've been reluctant. The best argument for abortion in cases of rape is this argument effectively, which is if you're walking by a person who is drowning, you don't actually have a responsibility under Western law to jump in the water and save that person, even if you could do so pretty easily. There's no responsibility in Western law. So that could theoretically be extended to cases of abortion in cases of rape. But the problem is that there is a difference between not saving somebody, letting them die, and actively killing somebody. So if the baby is on my front door and somebody leaves the baby at my doorstep and then I open the door, and it's not just me closing the door now it's me actively stabbing the baby, that is now a completely different question. James says, hey, Ben. Lately, I've been hearing President Obama's administration has been scandal-free. Could you go over some of the top scandals people are forgetting? Thanks. Sure, go read my book, The People vs. Barack Obama. It came out in 2015, I believe. And that book goes through a bevy of Barack Obama scandals, ranging from HHS to the IRS. He had scandals, obviously, having to do with the NSA. He had many, many scandals during his administration. So go read the book. I lay it all out in detail there. Nick says, hi, Ben. Do you think Trump has a shot at Virginia in 2020? Ralph Northam's administration has been disastrous so far. Could this push the state toward Trump? Unlikely. It's not a Trumpy state. Republicans in Virginia tend to be a little bit more moderate than Republicans in other conservative areas of the country. And Virginia has been largely turned by Northern Virginia, which is effectively a D.C. suburb. Patrick says, hey, Ben, I wanted to ask you about the anti-Israel attitudes on college campuses. When I was in college, I took a course on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and looking back, it was basically anti-Israel propaganda. Shocker. This is what happens on college campuses. However, at the time, I was a pretty far-left student. I bought into it more readily. Only after learning about the conflict in more detail did I see the truth. My question to you is, A, why do you think anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian attitudes dominate leftist college campuses? And B, what can people who support Israel do to combat it? Also, any book recommendations about the conflict you know would be great. Okay, a couple of book recommendations. There's one by Mitchell Bard called Myths and Facts. There's also a really good book out by David Brog right now about Israel's history. So go search that. I think it's called Reclaiming Israel's History.
February 22nd, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Correspondent Wally Hines reports that the battle over the president's national emergency declaration has moved to the courts.
The House on Friday filed suit in a D.C. district court accusing the president of violating the Constitution by diverting money from other projects to fund his wall. House Democrats, along with some Republicans, have long argued it's the sole responsibility of Congress to appropriate money. The latest lawsuit joins several others, including one filed in California representing 16 states.
That's correspondent Wally Hines. More nominees of President Donald Trump will soon be taking their seats on district courts, this after a major rules change this week in the Senate. Here is correspondent Bob Agnew to tell us all about it.
On Tuesday of next week, the Senate may very well vote to limit debate and then hold a final confirmation vote on Daniel Desmond Domenico to serve as judge for the District of Colorado in the same day. It's a new streamlined process that Senate Republicans say was needed because the Democrats were slow-walking all Trump nominees, judges and otherwise. Democrats say they've been slowing up the confirmation process to prevent the president from packing the courts with conservatives. Bob Agnew reporting.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he regrets being disinvited to an event where he was to be honored for working to free Americans jailed or held hostage abroad.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he thinks the move was political, but adds he still holds the James W. Foley Legacy Foundation in high regard. The foundation planned to honor Pompeo at its annual dinner this week, but retracted the award because of what it said was the administration's poor response to the October killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi by Saudi agents. The Foley Foundation is named for an American journalist killed by the Islamic State in Syria in 2014. Shelley Antler, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Come on, kid. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's ETHOS. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
Phoenix police have arrested a suspect in the shooting death of a 10-year-old girl that investigators say was motivated by road rage. Police Chief Jerry Williams said Friday that 20-year-old Joshua Gonzalez was booked into jail on a first-degree murder charge in the killing of Summerbell Brown and three counts of aggravated assault. Williams says community tips helped lead to the arrest.
This tragedy came down to critical information and the tips in solving this case. The community involvement, the compassion, truly assisted in bringing justice for Summer and her family.
Authorities say a driver followed Summerbell and her family to their home Wednesday after their vehicle had cut him off. Girl's father pulled into their driveway and got out to confront the suspect when he opened fire. Summerbell was wounded and later pronounced dead at a hospital. Her father was shot, suffering non-life-threatening injuries. Her mother and sister were in the car but escaped injury. News and analysis at townhall.com. Google says it will require staffing companies it works with to pay workers at least $15 an hour and give them health benefits.
The company has faced pushback from employees and contract workers for paying contractors less than full-time employees.
Google's new rules will require contractors to also get 12 weeks of paid paternal leave and a tuition reimbursement each year for classes. Contract workforces are common in the tech industry and often get paid less and have fewer perks than full-time employees working for tech giants.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Harvard's fencing coach sold his home for nearly double its assessed value to a man whose son was later admitted to the school and joined the team. The Boston Globe reports Peter Brand received nearly $1 million in 2016 for the three-bedroom house. Harvard says that the sale appears unrelated to the recent college admission scandal, but that it is reviewing the matter. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. In a little while, we'll have updates from the border. President Trump is visiting the city of Calexico, where he was presented with a piece of the border wall. He was also told that by the election of 2020, some 400 miles of border wall will have been built. We'll have updates on all of that in just a second. Plus, next hour, we will be joined by both House Minority Leader Steve Scalise, as well as the current FCC Commissioner, Brendan Carr. So, should be a lot to talk about in the next couple of hours. But we begin at this time with Joseph R. McBiden. So Joe Biden is having himself a tough race so far, mainly because people suddenly seem to have realized dude is weird in how he approaches other humans.
Keep my hands to myself.
Yeah, kind of weird. Anyway, so Joe Biden was supposed to do a big speech today. And at this speech, he explained that he was not really doing anything wrong in the first place. Now, this is what he should have done in the first place. From the very outset, Joe Biden should have said, listen, I didn't really do anything wrong here. Everybody who's getting offended, I feel bad that they're offended, but I didn't do anything wrong here, nor am I going to humor any suggestions that I did something terrible. This is clip 14, Biden explaining he's not sorry for any of his intentions.
The fact of the matter is, I made it clear that if I made anyone feel comfortable, I feel badly about that. That was never my intention, ever. Ever.
But there's someone who wanted to hear directly, I am sorry. Are you sorry for the way that you made these
women? I'm sorry I didn't understand more. I'm not sorry for any of my intentions. I'm not sorry for anything that I have ever done. I've never been disrespectful intentionally to a man or a woman.
This is the proper answer. This is the answer that Joe Biden should have been giving from the very outset. It is correct. It is obviously and eminently correct. You should have said from the very outset, I'm sorry if people got offended. I didn't do anything wrong on an objective level. That's what he should have said. Now, people can argue with him about that. They can say, oh, no, well, from an objective level, you're worried. He can say, well, where were you when I was doing it publicly for 20 years? I've been in Congress since like the age of 29. I'm now 75. Where were you for the last half century complaining about this? If you said nothing then, I'm not going to go with the I objectively did anything wrong. Now, Biden actually did something smart today. He made it into a joke. Before his speech, he made two separate jokes about touching people.
You realize 54% of the American people think their children will never reach the standard of living they've reached. That's never happened before. 54%. And you guys can sit in the edge or what? I don't want you to have to stand all along, but it's up to, by the way, he gave me permission to touch him.
It's funny. That's funny. You can see the kids laughing, too, because obviously, again, I don't think Biden did anything nefarious or horrible here. At best, the guy has no sense of personal boundaries. And then he did it again. He talked about another person in the audience. He said, I had permission to touch this person.
You know, as they say in parts of my old neighborhood in Scranton, you guys brung me to the dance. And you really did. And I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie.
Okay, this is correct. Showing a sense of humor about overwrought nonsense is correct. This is what we should be doing in politics, okay? Now, I don't know if Biden's going to be able to get away with it. I don't know if he's going to be able to get away with it, because the fact is that the new woke brigade is not going to let Biden off quite this easily. Also, the truth is that while we talk about Biden as though he is some sort of master politician, he really, really is not. He really is not. I'll give you a couple examples. So the audience where he was speaking clearly didn't know when to clap and when not to clap. And he did not help them out very much. So here he was speaking. He said, listen, the big problem here is we've gotten so damn elitist, which is a weird thing to say for a guy who spent his entire life in Washington, D.C. and served under the most elitist president in modern American history. Here is Joe Biden doing this routine.
It's impossible to make the country function without what you do. And don't you forget it. Don't you forget what you do. We've gotten so damn sophisticated. We've gotten so damn elitist. Just like I hope you guys understand. When that storm comes and the storm sewer's overflowing and some poor sucker's out there cleaning it, you owe him or her a thanks. It matters how we treat people. It matters how we talk to them. You guys are like me. I never walk away from a table without thanking the waiter.
Okay, this is his pitch. But I'm not sure that this pitch plays with a lot of the sophisticated audiences that he wants to speak to. And he's talking the language that could win Democrats back, Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. A little bit of gratitude to the people who do the kind of work that people in big cities don't like to think about, the people who work white-collar jobs. This is why Joe Biden is probably the most threatening candidate in the Democratic field to President Trump, because this is Trump's shtick too, right? Trump is constantly saying, listen, I've been next to the guys wearing the hard hats. I am one of these people, even if I'm extraordinarily wealthy. I've been working with them all my life. Biden makes that same pitch. But the truth is, his base doesn't really like that pitch, or at least large segments of the base don't like that pitch, because they wish that that group of people didn't exist. This is the difference, as I've said many times before, between the 2008 Democratic coalition and the 2012 Democratic coalition. Barack Obama in 2008 appealed not only to a wide variety of racial and ethnic minorities, as well as to women and gay folks and a broad spectrum of people. He also tried to make a pitch to people who are living in the Midwest. He tried to make a pitch to Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And then in 2012, he sort of didn't do that anymore. He won on the strength of the fact that he was already an incumbent, but he didn't try to make that pitch very strongly. There was this newfangled idea in the Democratic Party that a new majority was rising, and you could ignore all of these people and get away with it. Well, that turned out to fail in 2016. In 2020, Biden is the candidate best positioned among the Democrats to push back against that, and yet people are upset with him. Why? Well, because he is a hallmark of the past. The fact that he even wants to give credence or respect to people in the middle of the country, it is a hallmark of the fact that he doesn't understand the new reality on the ground. It's funny, it's not restricted to Biden. I have a Sunday special this week. You can see it on YouTube or download it at iTunes or SoundCloud, any place you can get a podcast. I did a Sunday special to Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang is running for the 2020 Democratic nomination for president. And Yang has become quite popular among some folks in the Midwest, specifically because he says there are a lot of people who have been put out of jobs, who are looking for a helping hand, and a lot of those people, more importantly, have value and are feeling alienated, and we need to reach out to them. And for that, he has been labeled a sort of near alt-right figure by some members of the press, because he's popular on the internet and among young white men. Biden's got the same problem. Now, Biden is also burdened with the record of his predecessor. So the fact is that as much as Biden is reliant on Barack Obama to carry him to victory, he is going to have a tough time when he was part of the Obama administration, which was responsible for a lot of the problems that Democrats currently diagnose in society. So, for example, here was Joe Biden today saying that he hates how things have changed in the last 10 to 15 years.
I hate the way things have changed over the last 15 to 20 years. How do we get to the place where people who build bridges, repair our roofs, keep our water systems going, teach our kids, take care of our sick parents, our children? How the hell do we get to the place where a lot of you don't think the rest of the country sees you or hears you or knows you? Or maybe most important, respects you, literally respects you for what you do.
Okay, well, this is the pitch, but the problem is, he says, what happened over the last 10 to 15 years? Good question. Good question. Let's date that a little bit. So when would the last, say, 15 years have been? The last 10 years have been? It's now 2019, so 10 years would have put us like, when your boss was elected. And one of the things that happened is that the Democratic Party decided that they were going to throw overboard everyone in the middle of the country on behalf of Nancy Pelosi and company. That there is going to be a strong push away from a lot of those people. So Biden is saying, let's go back to appealing to those people. And a lot of the party is looking at him and saying, no, you know what? We're not interested in looking at those people. Those people are no longer relevant. And more than that, if Biden is lamenting the direction of his own party for the last 10 years, who does he think was leading that party for the last 10 years? He was part of this. So Biden wants it both ways. He both wants to say that things have gotten real bad for the people in the middle of the country. And also, that was not me. Well, either way, he's in trouble because he was there. He was president when all of this stuff happened. He was the vice president of the United States. And at the same time, even appealing to this group of people alienates a large part of the more woke and radical intersectional left. It's pretty incredible. And this is why I think that Biden's candidacy is, even though it's early, I think he's got a real problem on his hands. And I think the person who is likely to drink his milkshake is actually Bernie Sanders. I'll get to that in just one second. But first, show of hands, should legislation protect big business? We should probably look out for people who are victimized from time to time by big business. We have a legal system that does so. But trying to use regulatory capture in order to protect your business is a mistake. And we've been seeing that a little bit from the timeshare industry. For years, the business interests of the timeshare industry have largely gone unchecked, allowing them to lock you into a perpetual contract, allowing them to sell you a week interval for an average cost of $20,000 with an interest rate of up to 17.9% plus a $1,000 a year maintenance fee. And then when you're tired of it, you're stuck. You can find hundreds of these listed for a buck right now with no buyers. Friends, this is not a great idea. That is why my friend Brandon Reed and Timeshare Exit Team are fighting back. They've launched the Coalition to Reform Timeshare. If you have a timeshare horror story, post it online. Tag it #ReformTimeshare because people do need to know the truth. And if you just need out, you know what to do. TimeshareExitTeam.com. That's TimeshareExitTeam.com. Listen, it's easy to get sucked into one of these things. And then you look around and figure there's no way out. Talk to the folks over at TimeshareExitTeam.com. See what they can do for you. TimeshareExitTeam.com. So as I say, Joe Biden should be running a strong middle-of-the-road campaign. A campaign where people try to hit him from the woke left on, oh, you hugged people and it wasn't sexual assault or abuse, but it was uncomfortable and therefore you're bad. Where he says, you know what, not going to play that game. That's what he should do. And he should appeal to people in the middle of the country. Both of these things are considered alienating by many members of the modern Democratic Party, which is why so many members of the Democratic Party decided that they would head on over to Al Sharpton's place to pander to Al Sharpton and proclaim the gospel of victimhood. The continuing gospel of victimhood to people. That you need government, you need me to fix your life, because America is such a no good, very bad place. This is what Bernie Sanders has been pushing. So Bernie Sanders lyingly suggested, he went over to National Action Network, to Al Sharpton's place, and he lyingly suggested that Stacey Abrams of Georgia and Andrew Gillum in Florida and Ben Jealous in Virginia all lost because of institutional racism. Not because they weren't good candidates or because they narrowly lost in close elections, but because of institutional racism. Here's Bernie Sanders doing his pandering routine.
In that last election, we saw great campaigns run for governor by Stacey Abrams, Andrew Gillum, and Ben Jealous. Great campaigns. They lost. We have made some progress, but clearly all of us recognize that we have a long way to go to end the institutional racism which permeates almost every aspect of American society.
Okay, so this is the pitch. The pitch is not going to be Joe Biden to the middle of the country. It's going to be Bernie Sanders to racial minorities, suggesting that people are losing not in free and fair elections, but because of institutional racism and cruelty. And then Sanders says that it's institutional racism that is causing a lack of black dentists and nurses and doctors as well. Basically, all inequalities can be attributed to some sort of inequity. Here's Bernie Sanders doing that routine.
We must take on the disparity within the disparity, the racial disparities which exist in this country, which is also growing wider and wider. So when we talk about disparity, we are talking about the need for more black doctors, more black dentists, more black nurses, more black psychologists. We are talking about guaranteeing health care to all Americans as a right.
Does he think that those people are being barred from medical school and dental school and nursing school? These schools are doing their best, I mean, really, above and beyond the call of duty to try and recruit potential black students and black dentists and nurses and doctors. That's true for residency programs. It's true for businesses all over the country. And yet this is the pitch. The pitch is going to be that you are a perennial victim in this society. And also, let's ignore those people in the middle of the country who may be feeling forgotten. It's an interesting pitch from the Democrats, and it's why Bernie Sanders is, I think, going to drink Joe Biden's milkshake. In a second, we will get to Bernie Sanders taking on Nancy Pelosi. That's kind of fascinating. But first, I'd like to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show? Well, don't let it happen again. Stop that. Go over to DailyWire.com right now. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, but you'll be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh, and non-prominent weirdos like Michael Knowles. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement and will keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to DailyWire.com, become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store at Amazon.com. Stock up on official Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That is DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Go check it out right now over at DailyWire.com. Alrighty, coming up, we'll examine the battle that is breaking out between the moderate Democrats and the radicals. We'll also get into the uncomfortable truth. Any Democrat who has ever said anything moderate will be cudgeled into line. It's not just Joe Biden. It's Beto O'Rourke. It's Tim Ryan. It's everybody. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is amazing to watch as the Democrats go to battle between the more radical wing and the so-called moderate wing. Nancy Pelosi is part of the moderate wing now. She says Medicare for all may be a bad idea. And Bernie Sanders is basically subtweeting her. He tweeted out, "Those who oppose Medicare for all need to explain why our failed current system should be allowed to continue bankrupting the American people." Well, first of all, you voted for Obamacare, my friend. Second of all, Joe Biden was one of the architects. Third, Nancy Pelosi created it. So our current medical system, you guys own that one. But every Democrat will be forced to renounce their own prior heresies. Beto O'Rourke is next on the chopping block. It turns out that back in 2012, Beto O'Rourke, monster that he is, called charter schools a good idea and said they encourage competition and innovation in classrooms. Not allowed to say that. Very bad. The former Texas congressman's comments came in a January 2012 primary debate during his successful bid to unseat Democratic Representative Silvestre Reyes. His past comments could draw criticism in the Democratic presidential primary, says CNN. Charter schools are controversial in Democratic politics, with teachers' unions complaining they siphon money away from public schools while skirting the same sort of strict accountability measures and mandates to take all children that public schools face. O'Rourke said at that point that he liked charter schools. Now he's going to run away from them because this is what we have to do. We have to run screaming away from any sort of real moderate policies or creative policy solutions. It's the same thing, by the way, for Cory Booker. There's an article earlier this week about how Cory Booker used to back school choice, and now he's forgotten about that. And it's not just Cory Booker. Elizabeth Warren has done the same thing. Elizabeth Warren used to be a fan of school choice and vouchers, and now she is against vouchers. Everybody will be forced to flip. This is why Tim Ryan, the congressperson from Ohio, who's thinking about running, he has flipped on both guns and abortion. He used to be pro-gun and anti-abortion. Now he is anti-gun and pro-abortion. Here he is on MSNBC explaining his flip.
You had an A rating from the NRA. Mm-hmm. You've also evolved on your position on abortion. Mm-hmm. In such a progressive field, even though you've modified your positions, how do you say that you're, you know, true blue on those issues?
Well, I think Democrats, especially Democratic primary voters, understand and appreciate the fact that as you have experiences in your life, your viewpoint changes. When I watch school shootings, you're damn right I'm going to change my position on how I feel about background checks and gun control and those kind of things. I started meeting women who were in very complicated situations that I didn't understand before I met them. And then I met them and I said, wow, I just don't think that the federal government should be in the middle of this doctor's office. That really should be a personal decision that a woman should make.
Oh, it's probably that. It wasn't that you decided to shift your policies because your party shifted its policies. I'm sure that everyone in your party has moved to the left simply out of pure conviction. That's what must have happened right here. And it's hilarious to watch as Democrats dodge any of the hard questions because they don't want to undercut their own crazies. Kirsten Gillibrand, who can always be counted on to avoid taking a hard position on tough issues. What do you mean? She was asked today about supporting Immigration and Customs Enforcement. You need border enforcement, guys. It's kind of important. She was asked about supporting ICE, and she completely dodged the question today. It's incredible.
Eliminating the Electoral College, what about abolishing ICE?
So ICE is...
Yes.
Can I say what I'm for? Okay. Because it's not exactly abolish ICE. ICE has two functions, okay? There's the anti-terrorism function, which is Homeland Security initiatives, and then there's Homeland Security investigations, and then there's enforcement and removal.
Right.
Two separate. This part is the part that President Trump is putting all the money into, that he is spending on for-profit prisons, tearing families apart at the border, harming people who need our help. That has to end. That piece goes back to the Department of Justice.
Was that an answer, or was that her avoiding an answer? She won't just say that she wants to abolish ICE because she knows that's crazy. By the same token, she's not going to say she doesn't want to abolish ICE because her people are crazy. This is the direction of the modern Democratic Party. You will be forced to the left. And if you refuse to move to the left, then you will be cudgeled to the left. And this is where I wonder whether Joe Biden has any legs here. I really do. Now, maybe, listen, it would be better for the Democratic Party and for the country if Joe Biden were to pursue and win the Democratic nomination. Why? Because Joe Biden is at least somewhat closer to sanity than some of these other characters. And that I am not a Joe Biden fan. I think that he's a con man and a charlatan. But at least his policies and at least what the way that he speaks about the middle of the country is not dripping with cynical nastiness. But because it isn't, I wonder whether he has any legs. Okay, coming up, we'll talk about the latest on the Mueller report. The media is still trying to push the idea that there's a cover-up happening at the highest levels of the Trump administration. Plus, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez puts on a Hillary Clinton black accent at the National Action Network. It's really awkward.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Oh,
gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we break, and we talk about pandering, and then we go to break. And then I hear a clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, the one who's so incredibly fresh and face. She's the fresh face of the Democratic Party. Well, she showed up at the National Action Network. Everybody has to go and pay homage to one of the worst race grifters of the last half century, Al Sharpton. So AOC, who's a grifter in her own right, she shows up at the National Action Network to talk about whatever it is she's talking about. And for some reason, she decides it's a smart idea to do what Hillary Clinton used to do. You remember that Hillary Clinton used to go to black churches and suddenly she'd put on a terrible black accent? And nobody would understand why she was speaking like that. It's kind of like a Southern Baptist. It was like a weird thing. She never talked like that. It was you remember the clip of her. I ain't in no ways tired. You're like, what, Hillary? What now? Well, AOC did exactly the same thing this afternoon. She was over at the National Action Network, and she just started dropping this stuff.
This is what organizing looks like.
That's right.
This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work.
Okay, what? I'm just wondering, like, what? Why is it that, how could, I legitimately do not understand how people get away with this crap. I do not understand it for the life of me. It makes no sense to me at all. I cannot imagine a politician coming into my synagogue and they're talking about tax policy and suddenly they start with the, so, new boychik, what do you think about tax policy? I've been thinking about it. What if we lowered the tax rate? What do you think? And it's like, Donald Trump? Why are you talking like that, man? And we don't talk like that. Why is it that AOC can wander into a black audience and just start talking like that and nobody sees that as racist in any way? How is that possible? I mean, isn't that just her pandering based on perceived stereotypical notions of how black people talk? Like, what is that? It's so bizarre. I mean, she's done this before. She went to a synagogue, I remember, a few months back. I was reminded by one of my producers. And there she proclaimed that she had Jewish blood in her. And I was like, why, did you have a transfusion or something? Like, I've seen no evidence of this whatsoever. When politicians do this, it really bugs the hell out of me on all sides of the aisle, so AOC is doing that too. So, just a quick note, that is not how AOC normally talks. Can we play that one more time? Because that's not how she talks, ever.
This is what organizing looks like.
What? Well, it's what, what is it? Lawrence Jones had the best response to this. So Lawrence Jones was ripped up and down by AOC for the grave crime of having worn a bulletproof vest at the border. She's like, well, you know, he shouldn't wear a bulletproof vest at the border, because if he wears a bulletproof vest at the border, that's pushing the idea there's a crisis at the border. And there isn't a crisis. The border is manufactured. And Lawrence Jones just tweeted out at her, that you're ripping on me for wearing a bulletproof fence in a dangerous area. He says, hey, AOC, I wore a vest because Border Patrol told me to, but what's your excuse for talking like this? Hashtag, we don't talk like that. That is exactly right, of course. My goodness. Amazing what Democrats can get away with this sort of things, with this sort of thing. People say things that are not racist, and if they are conservative, they're considered racist. AOC goes into a black event, a largely black event. I think NAN, it's National Action Network, it is a black interest group. And she talks like that, no problem. Pretty, pretty amazing. Meanwhile, the media continue to push the idea that the Mueller report is going to come out still. They're just hoping for it to come out. It will come out still, and it will destroy the Trump narrative. And they're hoping to promote the idea that a cover-up is underway. Now, as we discussed yesterday, there's no actual evidence that a cover-up is underway. That's not stopping the press from pushing this narrative up the wazoo. Today, the Washington Post reports potentially damaging information in Mueller report ushers in new political fight. So let's just be straight about how this went down. Barr, the attorney general, came out with a 4-page report that summarized the top-line findings of the Mueller report. Then he said, we'll get you all the underlying information over the next couple of weeks after we do the legally required redactions. Then Democrats said, well, you know, we would just like to see the report. We don't want your top line report on the report. We just want the report. Bring it forth now. We need to see it. No redactions. Show it to us now. And Barr was like, well, I can't do that legally, but I promise you I'm going to get you everything. And then the media found someone to leak to them to say that there was a cover up going on, that it actually was an effort by the Trump administration to cover up the material. And now the media gets to report on the reaction to this leak that occurred based on a false premise that a cover-up is taking place. There's no evidence that's happening right now. But at least now, so the media generate a controversy, and then they report on the controversy arising from their original report. Pretty solid stuff. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. He's nominated for a couple of Oscars. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays a member of the paparazzi. And he starts getting these incredible scoops. Why? Because he's the one committing the crimes. He gets so close to the crimes that he decides he's actually going to start taking part in crimes and then photographing them for the paper so he can become famous. Well, that's what you're seeing here. The media starting these brush fires and then reporting on the fact that there's been a brush fire somewhere and damage is being done. So here's the Washington Post doing that. Revelations that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's still confidential report may contain damaging information about President Trump ignited a fresh round of political fighting on Thursday, ushering in a new phase of the nearly two-year-old battle over the Russia probe. Members of Mueller's team have told associates they are frustrated with the limited information that Attorney General William Barr has provided about their investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, and whether Trump sought to obstruct justice, according to multiple people familiar with the matter. So they're still reporting on this leaked report. While Barr concluded the special counsel's evidence was not sufficient to prove that the president obstructed justice, some of Mueller's investigators have said their findings on obstruction were alarming and significant. One person with knowledge of their thinking said. Okay, so in other words, they're not even talking to members of Mueller's team. They're talking to people who talk to members of Mueller's team. So the media continued to push this notion that a cover-up is underway. Now, that is not helped by the White House's continued attempts to block the revelation of President Trump's tax returns. I was very critical of President Trump in 2016 for not releasing his tax returns. I think he ought to. I still think he ought to. I don't know what he thinks he's hiding. My guess, if I had to guess, is that the president is not worth as much money as he has said that he is worth, and so he is embarrassed about showing that to the world. I don't think that he is covering up any tax malfeasance. If he were, presumably he would have been prosecuted. But it's not a great look when the White House is now leveraging their authority on behalf of not releasing his tax returns. According to the Washington Post, the White House could attempt to block the release of President Trump's tax returns to Democrats, senior officials signaled on Thursday, an unprecedented step that might lead to a constitutional challenge and catapult the issue into federal court. In an indication of how the standoff might escalate, Trump himself suggested that the Justice Department could become involved, even though Democrats directed their request to the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. They'll speak to my lawyers, they'll speak to the Attorney General, Trump said during an unrelated event in the Oval Office. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said that Trump would not release his tax returns because they were under audit, a disputed claim the White House is not allowed to be independently verified. First of all, even if they were under audit, you could presumably release them. Second of all, we've seen no evidence they're actually under audit at this point, and the IRS, I don't believe, is legally allowed to comment on who exactly is under audit. Sanders says while his taxes continue to be under audit, he doesn't anticipate that changing at any point anytime soon, and therefore doesn't have any intention to release those records. I'm confused. He said they were under audit in like 2015. It's now 2019. How the hell long does this audit take? Are these the slowest auditors in history, or is Trump fibbing a little bit? House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal, Massachusetts, said on Wednesday that the Internal Revenue Service should turn over 6 years of Trump's personal and business tax returns, invoking a 1924 law that gives the IRS little wiggle room. He said the six-year decision was reached because the IRS advises you to retain 6 years of your tax records. We thought if this were to end up in court, we didn't want an issue, for example, if you were requesting 8 years where it would be thrown out based on a technicality. Neal also disputed the claim that an audit would prevent Trump from releasing his returns. Independent experts have also said that Trump could release his returns if he wanted to, even if you were being audited. The professional staff and the attorney say you can still submit your tax forms even if you're under audit, says this congressperson. And this, of course, is true. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has denied comment. The IRS has denied comment. Nobody is commenting. Hilariously enough, by the way, Bernie Sanders hasn't released his tax returns either. Bernie Sanders was actually under fire for not releasing his tax return on CNN. And he has said, oh, yeah, don't worry. I'm going to release this tax. He said, sooner rather than later, I'll release my tax returns. That's what he told Wolf Blitzer at a CNN town hall in February. He has yet to release those tax returns. His campaign has not explained the process in any more precise detail, even as Sanders has repeatedly said there is nothing revelatory or interesting about his financial situation. Elizabeth Warren, of course, has released 10 years of her federal tax returns. Honestly, I think that Sanders should do it. I think that Trump should do it. I think everybody should do it. Is he legally obligated to? He is not at this point. Maybe he will be sometime in the near future. All right, coming up in just 1 second, we will talk about the media's newest attack on President Trump, that his team is too white. Too many white people. Plus, actual news, the economy is pretty good, guys. We'll talk about that in just a second. First, let's talk about the fact that you still have not gotten that life insurance. Now, I know you've been putting it off. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to spend time doing it. But here's the truth. You can do it quickly and easily. All you have to do is give Policy Genius a try. Policy Genius is the easy way to buy life insurance online. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. No commissions, no hidden fees, just more time saved for you. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They also make it easy to find the right home insurance, auto insurance, or disability insurance. They're your one-stop shop for financial protection. So if you need life insurance but you're short on time, head on over to PolicyGenius.com and compare quotes. Policy Genius is easy. It saves you money. And not to belabor the point, but it is, in fact, fast. Policy Genius spend less time comparing life insurance, more time doing literally anything else. Go check them out right now at PolicyGenius.com. Compare quotes on everything from life insurance to home insurance to auto insurance to disability insurance. Make it happen for yourself now. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Ensure that if, God forbid, something were to happen to you, your family wouldn't go without. PolicyGenius.com. Go check them out right now. Alrighty. So, meanwhile, the media have discovered something new. Apparently, there are a lot of members of the Trump White House who are white. Oh, no. End of world. So they pointed out the Washington Post. This is the title of the article. Formal and casual White House photos show distance between Trump and increasingly diverse nation. In other words, he doesn't have enough black people near him or brown people near him, and therefore he is some sort of racist. Now, I'm old enough to recall that when a Trump official went to a congressional hearing, that person was accused of being a token by Democrats. So if Trump were to stack his cabinet with a bunch of black folks, then they would accuse him of being a tokenist. But if he doesn't, then he's a racist. So there's no in-between. Here's the Washington Post doing a piece of garbage reporting. It is a triumphant image. President Trump smiling and giving a thumbs up to the camera, flanked backstage at a MAGA rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, by a team of confidants. Oldest son Donald Jr., former campaign aides Corey Lewandowski and Dave Bossi, and Fox News host Pete Hegseth, once considered for a cabinet post. The president's surrogates promptly posted the photo on Twitter last week, an emblem of nostalgia for Trump's 2016 election and a projection of confidence ahead of 2020. Yet the image also symbolized a subtext of the Trump presidency. In picture after picture, emanating from the most exclusive corridors of American political power, Trump is seen with a team of aides and advisors that is almost exclusively white, a vivid, if unspoken, statement of the distance between the president and wide swaths of a nation that is growing increasingly and rapidly more diverse. Can someone remind me how many black people are on Pod Save America? Anybody remember? Like, none? Oh, sorry, that's awkward. How many black folks are there at the top levels of, like, the BuzzFeed echelon or the HuffPost echelon? Oh, yeah, not very many. My bad. But only Trump we are supposed to worry about this with regard to. That because he doesn't have enough black people sitting next to him, somehow this means that he is a racist. For a president whose agenda has centered largely on undoing the legacy of his White House predecessor, Barack Obama, the procession of daily images has served to reinforce the notion that the era of the nation's first black president is over. Oh, that's what happened here. So he has too many white people, and that means that he's a racist because Obama had a lot of black people, and that meant that Obama was a symbol of diversity. Maybe he just has a bunch of people that he finds to be qualified. Barack Obama had a disproportionate number of black people in his cabinet he thought were qualified. That was fine. I don't see why the race of the people is at issue here. It's ridiculous. Yet Eddie Glaude Jr., chairman of the Center for African American Studies at Princeton, says, "For 8 years, we had young Americans from all walks of life looking to the seat of American power and seeing a black family and seeing diversity in all its fullness occupy the White House. In some ways, just as Trump's policies have sought to erase Obama's policy legacy, the images coming out of the White House aim to erase 8 years of the visual black presidency." Yeah, I'm sure that's what was going through Trump's mind when Steve Mnuchin sat down. Can't have a black guy sit there. By the way, when he had Kanye West to the Oval Office, that was considered bad, too, by the left. There's no win here for Trump, of course, because this is how it works. Coming up, it's a brand new poll. It shows that the number of people in the United States who abide by no religion at all is soaring. What exactly does that mean for the future of the country? We'll talk about it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So I'm sure you've seen a lot of coverage of President Trump and the Mueller report. But how much coverage have you seen today about the fact that the United States added 196,000 jobs in March as the economy showed signs of a spring bounce? This is according to The Washington Post. So important to note, it is The Washington Post noting this. I'm just saying that the outsized coverage from the network news is probably not going to be on the booming economy. It's going to be on, obviously, things like the Mueller report. The U.S. job market returned to normal in March with robust hiring and wage growth across many industries, easing fears about the economy's health after hiring cratered in February. The economy added 196,000 jobs last month, according to the Labor Department, in line with expectations and a rebound from an anomalous 33,000 jobs added in February. The unemployment rate remained at 3.8%. Economists cited strong hiring to predict the United States faces almost no imminent risk of a recession. The labor market remains healthy. The last month is just an outlier, said Brad McMillan, chief investment officer at Commonwealth Financial Network. February's job slowdown may have been driven by a pair of temporary factors: employer hesitation to bring on new employees in the deep winter, and an economic hangover from the government shutdown. Most economists predict that the economy will slow this year, but it will still be good. They expect the pace of hiring to moderate as companies see less need to expand. Job gains were strong in healthcare, restaurants, and professional services, such as computer services. By the way, nobody ever talks about this. What do you think will be the impact on the healthcare industry if it's nationalized? Truly. We have millions and millions of people who work in private healthcare in the United States. What do you think happens if the government takes that over? You think it's going to go great for the economy? Probably not. Experts are watching to see if the slowing of construction job growth is a temporary easing or a beginning of a slowdown in certain parts of the economy. But overall, the economy remains incredibly, incredibly strong, which is terrific. Meanwhile, in not great news, there's a new poll out, and it shows that the number of people with no religion in the United States has soared pretty dramatically. In fact, the plurality of people in the United States identify as no religion as opposed to any one religion. People with no religion are now 23.1% of the United States population in 2018. Catholics are 23%. Evangelicals account for some 22.5%, which means all three are statistically tied as the largest religious group in America. Mainline Protestant Christianity has seen a 62.5% decline in believers since 1982. It's now just 11% of the United States population. What does that mean? It actually doesn't mean what I think the left thinks it means. They're celebrating. They think, oh, secular leftism, this is going to be great. We'll get rid of all the social standards. We'll get rid of all the intolerant mumbo jumbo in the Bible. And everything will be better. Except that's not what has happened. Along with the decline in religion has occurred an increase in opioid addiction, in suicide, in political polarization, in tribal partisanship. There's a reason for that. The reason for that is because religion does provide people with a common sense of purpose and meaning. Robert Putnam, sociologist over at Harvard University, he's talked about how diversity is actually a net negative for a community unless there's a common goal involved in the community, which makes sense. If you have a bunch of people who are trying to do the opposite of each other, that's not going to be good for a community. If you have a bunch of people who are similarly oriented, they just have different experiences, life experiences and different lives generally, then that's good for a community. I talk about all of this in my new New York Times bestseller, The Right Side of History. The building of social fabric upon which freedom is dependent requires strong social institutions. Churches are some of those institutions. A declining belief in God typically does not mean a happier, healthier secular life. Very often it means more deaths of despair. It means a lack of purpose. It means a lack of meaning. Human beings are not great at creating their own sense of meaning in the world. And just because they're a bunch of sophisticated college graduates who are secular in orientation does not mean that secularism overall is a pathway to happiness for a country, because it typically is not. Shifting political ideologies about social issues have played a role in the decline of religion, say some of the experts quoted by the UK Daily Mail. This one particular expert, whose name is Ryan Burge, political science professor at Eastern Illinois University, he says, another theory is that the religious right kind of cleaved moderate Christianity, and a lot of moderate Christians who were moderately attached said they didn't want to defend Jerry Falwell and all the anti-gay and anti-abortion religious rights leaders, so they said, you know what, I'm out. Well, I would suggest that there's some of the opposite happening, which is that a lot of the moderate religious leaders decided that they were going to disengage from the innately political parts of religion, and then those people who went to those churches were alienated by the so-called religious right. In other words, it wasn't Jerry Falwell being political that drove people away from religion. It was mainline Protestant churches that refused to actually abide by the dictates of their own religion when it came to value systems, whose pews were abandoned. It is not the evangelical movement that is declining in size and scope. It is not the Orthodox Jewish movement that is declining in size and scope. It is not the classical Catholics who are declining in size and scope. It's the opposite. It's all the moderate groups who have decided to abandon the eternal values. People look at that and say, okay, well, if I'm going to get secular values, then why can't I just, like, not go to church? None of that ends up being particularly great for a society. You need that social fabric. And by the way, secularism, secular reason, does rely on certain fundamental premises that can be found only in religion, or at least baseline assumptions made about the world, not based on reason.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Border security, a key issue on a visit to a California border town by President Trump.
The president's arguing he's made progress in convincing the country there's a national emergency at the border, and he's coining a new phrase and saying there's a colossal surge in illegal border crossings.
Our country is full. Our area is full. The sector is full. Can't take you anymore, I'm sorry.
In Calexico, not far from the Mexico border, the president talked with immigration agents hours after re-upping his threat to close the border altogether, while saying he prefers to instead slap tariffs on cars made in Mexico and brought to the U.S. He says he's holding off because Mexico's making strides in stopping migrants. Sagar Magani, Washington.
President Trump responded to the jobs report by calling for the Federal Reserve to cut rates and restore the bond-buying program that it used to lower longer-term interest rates earlier this decade in the aftermath of the Great Recession, an approach known as qualitative easing. Infants older than 3 months or those who can roll over should not use Fisher-Price Rock and Plays because of multiple deaths. Consumer Product Safety Commission spokeswoman Patty Davis.
CPSC and Fisher-Price are warning consumers not to use the Fisher-Price Rock and Play for infants after they're 3 months old, or if they're able to roll over before they're 3 months old.
The agency and Fisher-Price parent Mattel says they're aware of at least 10 infant deaths in the Rock and Play since 2015. A jury in Las Vegas rejected former U.S. Senator Harry Reid's lawsuit against an exercise band maker that he blamed for injuries including blindness in one eye suffered in January 2015. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
The tradition, the suspense, the race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary, 21 years or older, and on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
WikiLeaks have released tweets saying that Ecuadorian officials were within hours to days away from kicking Julian Assange out of the Ecuadorian embassy.
Assange hasn't left the embassy in almost 7 years, in the fear that if he steps off Ecuadorian diplomatic territory, he will be arrested and extradited to the U.S. for publishing thousands of classified military and diplomatic cables through WikiLeaks. Police said in a statement there is an active warrant for Assange's arrest, and that the police are obliged to execute that warrant should he leave the embassy. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt said that Assange is not being held there against his will. An anonymous Ecuadorian senior official told the Associated Press that no decision had been taken to expel Assange from the embassy. Karen Chabas, London.
Boeing will cut production of the grounded MAX airliner to focus on fixing flight control software suspected in two deadly crashes. Boeing says it will reduce production from 52 to 42 planes. News and analysis at townhall.com. Harvard University says it's reviewing a real estate transaction involving its longtime fencing coach and a man whose son was later admitted to the school and joined the team.
Claudine Gay, dean of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, said it was the school's current understanding that the matter was unrelated to the recent college admission scandal dubbed Operation Varsity Blues by federal prosecutors. 50 people have been charged with taking part in that scheme in which parents bribed coaches and helped rig test scores to get their children into some of the nation's most selective universities. John Scott reporting.
A federal judge in New York has ordered Tesla CEO Elon Musk and U.S. securities regulators to meet for at least an hour to try and settle a dispute over Musk tweets. Judge Allison Nathan also told both sides to send her a letter by April 18 saying whether they have reached a deal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Coming up, we'll be joined in a little while by FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr to discuss Mark Zuckerberg calling for government regulation of social media. Plus, it's a Friday, and that means we have Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We always do that the last segment of every Friday. But joining us on the line right now is House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana's 1st District. Representative Scalise, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. So this week, you filed a discharge petition to force House consideration of the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act legislation. This is obviously being opposed by Democrats. What does the legislation do, and why are Democrats opposing it?
Well, Ben, the bill would, first of all, make sure that if a baby is born alive outside the womb, that it's got full legal protection and that the doctor has to actually care for it and cannot murder the baby, which you would think, why do we need an act of Congress to do this? But of course, as you saw in New York, you saw the governor of Virginia just a few weeks ago gruesomely describing how they would kill the baby after it's born alive. A number of other states are rolling back these protections, and there ought to be a federal standard. Most people think, by the way, that it's already illegal to kill a baby outside the womb, and yet it's not. And so Ann Wagner has this bill, the Born Alive Act, and I filed a discharge petition because Nancy Pelosi will not bring it up for a vote. So we have a tool in the minority called a discharge petition that if we get 218 members of Congress to sign, we can force a vote, even working around Nancy Pelosi, to bring this bill up and pass it on to the Senate.
What are the chances, Representative Scalise, of that actually happening? I mean, you presumably have to have some Democrats sign on to that. Do you have any Democrats who have signaled willingness to vote on this thing?
We actually do. And look, I know it's an uphill fight, but I also know that there is a growing groundswell of grassroots support for this bill, and there was outrage when both New York and the governor of Virginia started raising this issue, and people said, wait a minute, there's actually the ability in some of these states to murder the baby after it's born alive, and in those states it's legal. And so people really started demanding that something happen, and so this bill has a chance. I mean, look, we all know the realities of how hard it might be to do something like this, but you don't run for a job like Congress to just do the easy things. It's the hard things like this that you actually wake up every day and fight for, And I think there's millions of people across the country that are fighting with us. We already, by the way, let me give you 2 points. We, on the very first day that I filed it, we got 193 members of Congress to sign, including 2 Democrats. And as we stand today, there's 198 signatures, including we picked up a 3rd Democrat. That was the most, by the way, the most signatures on a discharge petition ever recorded by the clerk's office. And so on the first day. So there is a lot of support for this bill. We need another 20 Democrats to sign.
Well, what is the difference between this Born Alive Survivors Protection Act and the 2002 Born Alive Infants Protection Act? That's what the media seem to be honing in on.
Yeah, they're very similar. But, you know, I think the biggest difference, Ben, is that people are now seeing that this is happening. For a while, people didn't really – they weren't engaged because they just didn't think it was legal. And, you know, who would dare kill a baby born alive outside the womb and think that that's legal to do? And now we are seeing it. Again, when New York passed their law to allow this, they were cheering and celebrating. And it just – it got people's attention. And then, like I said, when the governor of Virginia went on that radio station and literally in gruesome detail described how you could do it legally if a bill he was promoting passed, it woke people up. And I think it got galvanized support in a way I haven't seen in a long time. It's not just the pro-life community that's very – engaged in this. If you poll this nationally, a majority of pro-choice people think it should be illegal to murder the baby after it's born alive outside the womb. So there are going to be maybe 20 Democrats left to sign before we get the requisite number. And in the next coming weeks, people are going to be looking and saying, how did my member of Congress do the things that they need to do? Did they sign the discharge petition? By the way, you can go to our website, RepublicanWhip.gov. Go to RepublicanWhip.gov. You can click on a link, and it'll show you which members of Congress have now signed the discharge petition. We're going to update it daily. If your member of Congress hasn't signed, pick up the phone and call them. Tell all of your friends that this is an issue everybody ought to be able to unify behind, that there are babies right now that are being born alive, that are being murdered. We had at our press conference some survivors of abortions who lived through the process and are passionately now in support of this bill because they wouldn't be here if not for, you know, the fact that somebody took care of them when they were born alive as the result of an abortion attempt. So it happens. It actually does happen. And in some states, there's no legal protection. We ought to have a federal standard.
We're speaking with House Minority Whip Steve Scalise. I want to switch topics for a moment, Representative Scalise, and talk for a second about the situation down at the border. Obviously, the media is suddenly realizing there's a crisis down at the border. It is pretty amazing that while the government shutdown was happening, the media insisted that the crisis was manufactured. Then the government shutdown ended, and now they are saying, hey, look, there's a crisis at the border. Why is the Nancy Pelosi House refusing to provide the president and mostly Border Patrol with the additional funding necessary to make sure that we can actually even process or house all of the illegal immigrants attempting to cross the border?
I think the real reason is that Nancy Pelosi and a lot of her radical left base in the House are for open borders. They don't want to secure the border. They fought building the wall. We, in fact, were able to get billions of dollars of new money to the president when President Trump said, look, we need to build an extra 55 miles of wall in the Rio Grande area. We were able to get him that funding just a few months ago, even though Nancy Pelosi said she literally said didn't want to give him more than a dollar. And yet we were able to get about $4.5 billion funded. There's more needed. But look, if you just see how many crossings there are today that are illegal, Barack Obama's Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, said when he was secretary, he would get the list of illegal crossings. And if that number was more than 1,000 in one day, it was a bad day for him. These days, Secretary Nielsen of Homeland Security is getting the same report, and in some cases, there are more than 4,000 illegal crossings a day. That's a major crisis. It's overwhelming the system. We've got to get control of our border. We're a nation of laws, just like every other country is. There's a legal way to come here, and we encourage people to try to come to America through the legal means. Don't try to come here illegally. And that's what President Trump is doing. He's trying to secure the border, and I applaud and support his efforts.
Representative Scalise, one of the things that's been keeping up a lot of apparently Democratic time is their focus on the Mueller report. Now, that is supposed to be released at least as much as it can be, if not redacted, by the next couple of weeks. Are you seeing any evidence at all that there's an attempt by Attorney General Barr or the Department of Justice to somehow bury the actual underlying material in the Mueller report? Or is this a manufactured scandal created by people who are heavily invested in the Mueller report being what they wanted it to be in the first place?
Now, this is one more smokescreen as part of the Democrats' witch hunt. They've made it clear from the beginning they just want to try to find anything to go and impeach this president. They didn't agree with the election of 2016. Well, you know what? This is America. You don't have to agree with an election, but this is our duly elected president. If you don't like it, there's an election next year. But to try to literally spend every day harassing the president and harassing his family, even though there's no evidence, they've said for 2 years, by the way, they promised there would be evidence of collusion. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction. And so now they're trying to say, well, release everything, even illegal stuff. I mean, look, they know good and well that if the attorney general was to release the data that they're asking him to release, the attorney general would be in violation of the law by releasing classified information. And then they'd go after him, by the way. So just be aware of what's going on. You have Democrats right now in Congress that are trying to encourage our attorney general to break the law. How outrageous is that? They know that the report's going to show what the initial summary showed, that there was no collusion with Russia, even though for 2 years Adam Schiff and others were running around everywhere saying, I've got more than circumstantial evidence. Well, there's none, and yet they won't give it up. They won't apologize for all the lies and the smearing of the names of good people that they said that there were all kind of, you know, indictments coming out, and there are no indictments. So look at what they're saying. They said they promised collusion. There was no collusion. It's time for them to get over this and focus on working with us to get the economy back on track, like it's actually doing well right now. Let us keep growing our economy. Focus on lowering health care costs for families. They don't want to do that. They want to continue harassing the president and his family, and the American people, I think, are tired of it.
Yeah, amazingly enough, the House is also focused, obviously, on covering up for folks like Ilhan Omar, whereas the House Republicans did everything in their power to take away committee assignments for Representative Steve King. Representative Omar is able to say whatever anti-Semitic thing she pleases, apparently, and keep not only her committee assignments, but the Plum Committee assignment on the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
No, exactly right. And then, look, if they want to be the party of anti-Semitism, if the Democrats want to be the party of murdering babies after they're born alive, for God's sake, if they want to be the party of more high taxes and literally trying, by the way, next week, trying to have government, the federal government, regulate the internet so that they can tax it and slow it down. That's where their party is right now, and it's a shame that this is where they've sunk. But, you know, look, there's accountability every 2 years. And look, people are tired of this. I mean, we've got to stand up to anti-Semitism, hatred, racism, any kind of bigotry in America. And yet, with what's happening, Nancy Pelosi and her leadership team won't stand up for it. They ought to remove Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee right now.
Final question for you, Representative Scalise. So who is the actual leader of the Democratic Party in the House, Nancy Pelosi or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Right. You know, Nancy Pelosi, of course, is the figurative head of the Democrat Party nationally until they pick their nominee. And it's, I'm sure it's going to be somebody who's very socialist, far left of liberal, not far left of center, but far left of liberal. But for now, you can see AOC has got a stranglehold on the direction of the House majority. And, she ran as a socialist. She beat a liberal. It wasn't like it was a moderate against a liberal. It was a liberal against a socialist, and the socialist won. And now she's, like you said, the de facto head of the Democrat Party right now. Look, every Democrat senator running for president of the United States has signed on to AOC's Green New Deal. And please go read the Green New Deal, by the way. You know, people laugh when you say, yeah, they want to end airplanes and get rid of cows in 10 years. It's laughable, and it sounds like a comedy skit. But they really do believe this. That's how nutty this is. You know, they want to end fossil fuels, you know, so you can't even heat your home in the winter or cool your home in the summer. And you can't manufacture things, the millions of jobs that we would lose in America that would go to countries like China and India. You know, maybe China and India want the Green New Deal, but most Americans say, you know, let's keep our jobs and let's keep low-cost energy And by the way, we don't mind flying around on airplanes if we need to get somewhere or eating a hamburger every now and then.
Yeah, House Minority Whip Scalise, thanks so much for stopping by. Really appreciate all your hard work on the Hill, and appreciate your time, sir.
Ben, great being with you.
Well, in just a second, I'm going to tell you about President Trump ditching his ICE nominee, his nominee to lead ICE. We'll try to dig into that in just a second. First, let's talk about the quality of your sleep. There's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for somebody else? Helix Sleep is built to sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. The mattresses are ridiculously comfortable. My wife and I have one. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. It's really easy. The mattress arrived in the mail. We popped it on the bed frame. We were good to go. It was that simple. So comfortable. I got one for my sister for her wedding as well. Go check them out at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Get up to $125 off all mattress orders when you do. Okay, breaking news. The president has now ditched his nominee to lead ICE, to lead the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He said that on Friday. The White House withdrew its nomination of Ronald Vitiello to lead ICE. Asked exactly why he had done that, that's the current acting director of ICE, who'd been scheduled to accompany him on a trip to the border today. Trump told reporters, "We're going in a little different direction. Ron's a good man, but we're going in a tougher direction. We want to go in a tougher direction." The move blindsided lawmakers, Department of Homeland Security officials, and others across the spectrum who said Friday they couldn't understand why Trump would pull the ICE nominee in the middle of a breaking point debate. There's been some talk that Stephen Miller, the president's very, very hawkish immigration advisor, basically wanted somebody else who was significantly harsher on immigration. So we will see what exactly that means as information emerges. Suffice it to say that Ann Coulter is a little happier today than she has been in a while. Stephen Miller has been criticizing Vitiello to the president, looking for an opportunity to cut him loose, apparently. Miller's been angry that unauthorized border crossings have soared and the catch and release has been pursued, although I'm not sure how many choices Vitiello actually had. He just doesn't have a lot of resources at disposal. Okay, coming up in just a second, we're going to be talking about a new article suggesting just why it is that all the Democrats showed up for the National Action Network, and also why AOC would put on a weird accent. But first, did you know you can watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show? You can. You have to be a Daily Wire premium subscriber. How can you do that? Go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of the show, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and more. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, you'll get the exclusive Leftist Tears tumbler, so you can drink your Leftist Tears, coffee, tea, whatever you're into, hot or cold. You ever wonder what the man behind this deep, mellifluous voice looks like? You want to watch or listen to this show at your desk while you pretend to do work? Well, go to dailywire.com, make it happen for yourself. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. Go to dailywire.com, become a subscriber. It really does help us out. Go check it out right now. Alrighty, coming up, a new article from CNN asks, how much do Democrats actually need black voters? What percentage of black voters must go Democrat for Democrats to win in 2020? And does that help explain why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez put on a bizarre Hillary Clinton-esque accent at the National Action Network event? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The WAVE Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose WAVE Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
WAVE Home Solutions.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from WAVE Home Solutions. WAVE's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Harry Enten is an elections analyst over at 538 and also at CNN. And he has an article today called Why Black Voters Are So Important for Democrats in 2020. He's trying to explain why all the Democrats made their way to Al Sharpton's National Action Network convention when Al Sharpton is, to put it mildly, a bad, bad human being. Apparently, black voters make up about 20% of all Democratic voters, according to 2016 primary exit polls and 2018 data from the Pew Research Center. To put that in perspective, about the same percentage of Democrats identified themselves as very liberal in the average 2016 primary with an exit poll as the percentage of Democrats who said they were black. Just slightly more Democrats are whites with a college degree than are black, per the Pew Research Center. In other words, black voters make up about the same part of the Democratic Party as two parts that a lot of analysts like to hype for their growing power. Unlike college-educated whites and very liberal Democrats, black voters have consistently been a large portion of the Democratic base. If you look at the 1980 election, black voters made up about 20% of Jimmy Carter's vote. In 2000, they were about 20% of Al Gore's vote. But also, black voters have voted in blocks in presidential primaries. So in 2016, Hillary Clinton won 80%. Barack Obama won 80% in the 2008 primary. Although neither 2004 nor 2000 went on for any extended length to fully grasp how all black Democrats felt, John Kerry and Al Gore both dominated the black vote in early contests. Bill Clinton won about 70% of the black vote in the early primaries in 1992. In 1984 and 1988, Jesse Jackson won over 75% of the black vote. That means that voting as a bloc can be decisive. That's what happened in the last two primaries. Bernie Sanders was neck and neck with Clinton among non-black voters in 2016. But because she won with black voters, she won easily overall. The shoe was on the other foot for Clinton in 2008. She beat Obama easily among white and Latino voters, but Obama won big with black voters, and that gave him just enough votes to beat Clinton overall. Right now, there are no real indicators that the black vote is going to split in favor of any one candidate. Actually, black voters have a lot of diversity in their ranks. They may not actually vote as a bloc this year, which would be unique. But if one of the candidates does catch fire with black voters, that could obviously change the nature of the game. This is Harry Enten writing over at CNN. In other words, if you would see Kamala Harris or Cory Booker start to pick up significant chunks of the black vote, that would radically change the race. Right now, the person who seems to be outperforming at least a little bit is Joe Biden. But that explains why all of the Democrats felt the necessity to go over to the National Action Network conference. They're hoping that by swaying Sharpton and swaying some of his top supporters, they can sway a heavy block of people behind them in the 2020 Democratic primaries. Now, it is amazing how easily Democrats will slip into legitimately open pandering when they have to. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez slipped into Hillary Clinton-esque pandering at the National Action Network. This is actually her voice. This is actually her talking at the National Action Network and putting on legitimately like a Kirsten Gillibrand fake down-home accent or a Hillary Clinton fake down-home accent in the middle of New York.
This is what organizing looks like.
That's right.
This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work.
She does not talk like this normally. She put on this accent right now for this event. How people don't see that as gross pandering is beyond me. It's beyond me. I don't understand how you could see it any other way. Okay, coming up, we'll be joined by FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. He's going to stop by to talk about a variety of issues, including social media companies now asking the government to regulate them. Why would they do such a thing? Doesn't that cut against their interest? Actually not. Brendan Carr will explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Purpose-driven banking.
That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a bizarre thing when you think about the fact that suddenly Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is legitimately asking, apparently, for the FCC to regulate him. And here Mark Zuckerberg was appearing with George Stephanopoulos. They released a little bit of the excerpt of the interview. Here's what Mark Zuckerberg actually had to say.
There was a question of what decisions should be left to a private company to make, especially around things like speech and expression for so many people around the world. And where should we have either industry or more government regulation?
You're already seeing the FCC push back fairly hard against this. Two commissioners, I think, saying, no, we don't want to get into the business of policing the First Amendment.
Yeah, I don't think that that's what this is, though. Right? I think it's, you can say that kind of any regulation around what someone says online is protected, but I think that's clearly not right today. You know, it's not clear to me that we want a private company to be making that kind of a fundamental decision.
Well, it seems to me that what this is Mark Zuckerberg attempting to kick the responsibility over to the FCC so that he is not held liable by the public or in any way for the fact that his platform is a platform. Joining us on the line to discuss is FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. Brendan, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So what in the world is motivating presumably the head of a major corporation to try and hand control of his corporation over to the FCC for purposes of regulation?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, look, Facebook has been taking a lot of heat recently for a number of missteps, and that includes mistakes that it's making with respect to moderating online content. So for the decisions it chooses to make about what you get to say online. So it's now calling for the government to step in and to police your speech for it. And look, outsourcing censorship to the government isn't just a bad idea. It's a violation of the First Amendment. So I'm against that.
Well, you know, when you look at what he is doing here, it seems to me that a lot of this springs from Facebook's unwillingness to confront what it actually is. Facebook sort of wants it both ways. On the one hand, they want to be seen as a moral force in the universe that is preventing bad speech from entering the public discourse. And on the other hand, they want to be treated as a platform. They want to be treated the same way that any sort of phone line would be treated, a place that is an open platform for people to debate and discuss ideas. But then Zuckerberg wants to act like an editor. I mean, I remember he testified in front of Congress that he thought that he was responsible for anything that went up. This seems like a way not only for him to kick the responsibility over to the federal government, but also to ensure that competitors can't actually get into the market. Because if it turns out that the FCC is going to regulate all internet companies and what they can put up in terms of content, that means that Facebook gets to continue to dominate market share even as they exercise editorial judgment.
I think a lot of ways you're right. Look, when large corporations start calling for greater government control of their sector, it's not an act of charity. We didn't hear these calls from Facebook until after it established a dominant position, until after they had a market cap of about $500 billion. It has an army of lawyers and lobbyists that can work through these new heavy-handed rules that it's calling for, and essentially it creates an economic moat to protect it from upstarts. So I think we have to be very skeptical when we see that sort of call for essentially regulatory arbitrage.
Has there been any talk, Commissioner Carr, about treating Facebook not as a platform but as a publisher? Now, I've been saying this for a long time, is that Facebook, Twitter, these are outlets that are not just using the rules of the First Amendment in order to allow people to speak. It seems like they're putting their thumbs on the scales in particular cases. You can't actually see their algorithms, so you don't know. But Zuckerberg has testified openly that he believes that certain points of view ought to be downgraded at Facebook. You've heard the same thing from Jack Dorsey over at Twitter. It seems to me that that is much more like Daily Wire, a publication I run where I get to edit it and determine what goes up, than it sounds like an open platform where people get to post whatever they want so long as it doesn't violate the law.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion right now in D.C. along some of those same issues. One thing that's interesting is in this piece, Zuckerberg doesn't call for government help with policing illegal speech or
right.
unlawful activity online. It calls for regulation of what it says, quote, harmful content. So think about that for a second. Do we really want the government, do we want politicians deciding how to define harmful content? There's governmental regimes around the world that would have no problem accepting that invitation to shut down political speech, opposition ideas on the basis that it is, quote, harmful content. So I think it's that sweeping call for government regulation with this vague harmful content idea that's particularly troubling.
I get the feeling that Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, is using the term harmful content specifically because that is exactly the language that is currently being used in the UK with regard to Facebook. So there's a piece of legislation that may be pending in the UK that would punish social media executives personally for harmful content distributed on their platform, harmful content to be defined as material relating to terrorism, child abuse, self-harm, suicide, or various other classes of speech. It seems to me that maybe what's happening here is a call by Zuckerberg and others to create almost a uniform anti-First Amendment censorship regime that spans the globe, that goes from Britain to the United States, so that Zuckerberg doesn't get blamed for imposing standards in the United States that obtain in Britain.
I think there's no question. This strikes me as a convenient way of passing the buck, or as you put it, diverting attention for calls for broader sets of regulations on the company. But, you know, look, none of that justifies their decision to volunteer our First Amendment rights as tribute to distract from those broader calls or difficulties that they're having.
Well, Commissioner Carr, what do your colleagues feel about all of this? So I'm comforted that at least a couple of you think that it's a bad idea for the FCC to get directly involved in the business of regulating speech. But there are several FCC commissioners. So is everybody on the same page here? Or if it were to change, if the political constituency of the FCC were to change, would there actually be a move by the FCC to regulate, in violation of the First Amendment, companies like Facebook at the behest of people like Zuckerberg?
Well, I got some good colleagues, so I'm hopeful that this is going to be a non-starter across the board. We have seen some, like Senator Warner out of Virginia, who essentially hailed this call from Zuckerberg for greater government control of speech online. But just think about the things that Zuckerberg called out for regulation. He pointed to what he said was, quote, divisive political speech. And one example he gave of that was speech on immigration. So these hot-button issues that we like to discuss online and share a variety of viewpoints on, that's the type of speech that would be caught up by this. So it's dangerous, and I think it's important for all of us to stand up and express our views on this.
Well, with all of that said, you know, I'm deeply fearful, obviously, that the future of the Democratic Party is moving in a particular direction on all of this. And I do wonder how much of this is driven by the fact that President Trump was elected in the first place, this move being driven by the pressure that was put on Facebook in the aftermath of the 2016 election with regard to supposed Russian infiltration of Facebook. I mean, I have to say, Commissioner Carr, it's funny to me. You know, we do a lot of business on Facebook over at the Daily Wire. And whenever people cite these statistics on Russian infiltration of Facebook and they show the kind of reach or breadth of Russian posting on Facebook, I have to laugh. It's minute. is minute. I mean, the idea that this shifted the election and therefore Facebook's terrible policing is somehow responsible for President Trump being president, I find it completely bewildering. But it seems like an excuse for the Democrats to put pressure on Zuckerberg to the point where Zuckerberg is saying to them, listen, I'd rather you regulate me than punish me.
Yeah, I think, look, there's certainly, you know, non-biased targeted steps that can be taken. If you see an IP address from Russia all of a sudden open up 1,000 Facebook pages, you can take targeted action. But that's not what this call was for, and that's why it's disturbing. One of the things that Zuckerberg said euphemistically, he said we need a, quote, a more democratic process over speech. And think about that. The whole reason we have the First Amendment is to insulate it from the democratic process, to insulate it from majority rule. We want unpopular ideas out there. We want the American people to judge for themselves the relative value of these ideas, not the government.
Commissioner Carr, I want to switch topics for just a moment. I'm seeing a lot of the candidates in 2020 restoring the idea that they would like to pursue net neutrality again. For folks who haven't really followed this, for people who maybe older, don't really follow this debate, it's a very hot debate among young people. What is net neutrality and why should people care about it?
It's a great question. I mean, it's interesting. Net neutrality means a lot of different things to a lot of people. At its core, there's really not a lot of debate and there's a lot of common ground. People don't want to be blocked. They don't want to be throttled when they go on the internet. But what the debate has turned into Washington is this entirely different thing called Title II of the Communications Act, which is essentially a broad set of heavy-handed government regulations that really have nothing to do with net neutrality that people are trying to apply to the internet. We removed those Title II regulations 2 years ago, and we have seen a dramatic effect since then. Internet speeds in the U.S. are up 40%. The digital divide is closing. The blue-collar workers actually build out the physical infrastructure. They're looking to add 20,000 jobs right now just to build out the internet because there's so much demand right now when we've gotten rid of this unnecessary regulation of Title II. So people conflate net neutrality, which are basic rules of the road we all agree with this broader set of heavy-handed rules for the internet from the government.
Well, SEC Commissioner Brendan Carr, thanks so much for joining the program and illuminating a lot of these issues. Obviously, the merger of Big Tech and Big Brother is frightening to me. I'm glad that you're standing in the breach despite the calls by people like Zuckerberg for the government to step in, amazingly enough. Thanks so much for your hard work, and I appreciate you joining the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, coming up in just 1 second, I want to tell you about Jill Biden's reaction to Joe Biden, because now she's commenting, man, this is just not going great for Joe Biden. But first, let's talk about improving the look and feel of your home without spending a fortune. A lot of us have ideas, but we don't know where to start. Well, thanks to SelectBlinds.com, upgrading your home is really easy. In fact, it's a no-brainer. Score amazing deals on blinds, shades, and shutters today from SelectBlinds.com. Select Blinds will make an instant impact on the way you look at your space. Swap out tired old window coverings for high-quality, easy-to-install blinds with products you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows. SelectBlinds.com is the easy way to upgrade. Select Blinds takes the guesswork out of ordering blinds online by offering high-quality blinds for an incredible price. After your new blinds are taken care of, get back to the important stuff, like relaxing in your new and improved space. Read more than 300,000 reviews from a million happy customers at SelectBlinds.com. It's easy to see why they've been featured on TLC, HGTV, and Netflix. Select Blinds really is the simple, smart way to get blinds. To get the best deals on blinds, shades, and shutters, shop now at SelectBlinds.com. Mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu. Select Blinds, simple, smart, and custom. SelectBlinds.com. Go check them out. Right now, don't let your apartment look like garbage. Instead, go to SelectBlinds.com. Make it look better. SelectBlinds.com. Go check it out. All right, so now Jill Biden is sounding off on Joe Biden. This thing just never ends for Joe Biden. I don't think it's going to anytime soon. She apparently, according to the UK Daily Mail, said that Joe made her feel kind of uncomfortable. Quote, just as Joe Biden faces increasing criticism for his inappropriate touching of women, his wife Jill has written a memoir telling how his public displays of affection, like hugs, kisses, and rubs, have always been the norm for the former vice president and his family. He was always holding my hand, putting his arm around me, or brushing the hair from my face when they began dating. The former second lady writes in her deeply personal memoir, Where the Light Enters, Building a Family, Discovering Myself. She admits that being thrust into a family of huggers made her feel strange and uncomfortable, writing that Joe and his two young sons never wanted to miss a chance to hold a hand, wrap their arms around each other, or give a kiss. She says that as an introvert, she sometimes found all that affection draining, but she knew it was the death of his first wife, Nelia, and their baby daughter, Naomi, that gave the family an understanding of how precious every second could be, which was displayed by constantly touching and being connected to each other. But now there are a bunch of women who are claiming that they have been deeply offended by all of this, and if somebody is offended, that means something terrible, terrible has happened. Well, again, I think a couple things can be true at once. One, Biden's behavior with people is weird. Two, it is not actually a form of sexual abuse or harassment to be kind of weird. And three, Joe Biden does not owe an apology to people for behavior everyone knew about clearly. This was already present. Everyone knew about this. I'm constantly shocked by the number of people who pretend outrage at stuff they knew about 5 minutes before. It's bizarre. The only excuse for it has to be some sort of political maneuvering. And there's a reason they're maneuvering, and that's because Joe Biden does continue to have a serious shot at the presidency, so they're going to try and take him down from every different possible perspective. There's a piece over at Huffington Post today talking about Joe Biden's pitch for the presidency. They're essentially making the case that there's still enough members of the Democratic Party who are old school to carry him forward. Biden's political analysis has merit, according to the Huffington Post. Not a single candidate endorsed by Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez defeated a GOP incumbent in 2018. In Gallup polling, about 46% of Democrats identify as liberal, up from 32% around the beginning of the new millennium. In the same time frame, the percentage identifying as moderate has dropped from 42% to 35%. Those identifying as conservative is down to 17%, but that still means that 52% of Democrats identify as moderate or conservative. That would presumably be Joe Biden's lane. And right now, that lane is pretty empty except for Joe Biden. Also, the Democratic Party base, 56% white, 65% of Democrats don't have a college degree. So Biden still has a constituency. Okay, coming up, it's a Friday. That means it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We read you a meaningful children's book, and we determine whether the thematics are appropriate for your woke child. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com. Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are
are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a Friday. Every Friday at this time, we do something called Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime, in which we analyze a piece of children's literature for proper social justice, woke messaging, to ensure that your children only read the books that teach them the things they need to know about life, like social justice and intersectionality and transgenderism, all good stuff. We need to make sure that old, retrograde, regressive books are never taught to your child. So let us jump in to Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. Today, girls and boys, just for Joe Biden. The book is C for Consent by Eleanor Morrison. Illustrations by Faye Orlov. It's time for a party with family and friends. You might think this is a good idea. Turns out, terrible idea. Grandma wants a hug, but Finn isn't in the mood. That's okay, says Dad. You don't have to give hugs if you don't want to. See, this is Dad being a good, woke parent. He wouldn't make the little kid give a hug to Grandma. He wouldn't say to the kid, hey, kid, stop being a jerk. That's your grandmother. Like, I'll give her a hug. Stop being a little jerk. Instead, he says, you don't have to give a hug to Grandma if you don't want to. If you want to be a standoffish little creep man, it's up to you. Grandma leans down to kiss Finn. Mom says, please ask for consent first. And Grandma says, man, I only had myself to blame for that when I brought up this person. My goodness. Grandpa asks, may I kiss you on the cheek? Finn replies, yes, you may. Well, I don't know why Finn prefers Grandpa to Grandma. Maybe Finn has some serious misogyny issues, some toxic masculinity issues already manifesting at this tender age. Auntie and Uncle want Finn to sit with them. Come sit on my lap. No, you have to sit on my lap. Finn says, no, thank you. My parents say I don't have to sit on anyone's lap if I don't feel like it, because Finn is a brat. And now, again, I have kids. Okay, putting aside the SJW stuff, I have kids. I have kids who are 5 and 2. And thank God both grandmothers are still alive. One is in her mid-90s and one is in her very late 80s, like 89 years old. And if my kids don't want to go and say hello to their grandmother and, you know, bring a little light into their grandmother's day, they don't want to go up and kiss their cheek, you know what I say to them? Go kiss your grandmother, stop being a brat. Because it turns out that sometimes physical affection from a child to, like, an old person is a nice thing. My goodness. Mom's friend gives Finn a present. Does that mean he has to hug or kiss that person? Only if he wants to. Maybe Finn could high-five or fist bump instead. Or maybe he doesn't want to be touched at all. It's his choice what happens to his body. Well, yes, that's true. Also, I don't know Mom's friend. Mom's friend could be anybody. Like, legitimately. Grandma and Grandpa seems like a mildly different story. Finn is happy to see his best friend, Rue. He asks, may I hold your hand? It is okay for you to say no. Rue replies, yes, you may hold my hand. Thank you for asking first. Well, this is appropriate behavior for children and between children. Again, not the same thing as Grandpa wants to give you a kiss. Like, are we really going to start policing grandparents now? Seriously? Is that what this book is? This stupid book? We're going to start policing that your uncle or aunt comes up and wants to pinch your cheek, and now there's some sort of molester? Like, this is where we're going with this nonsense? Now, the problem with Joe Biden is he doesn't understand the difference between his grandchildren and your grandchildren. Still, like, come on, guys. And then there, oh, this is good stuff. They're discussion questions for older kids. And then there are discussion questions for parents, families, and caregivers. It says, who should ask our child for consent before giving physical affection? Everyone including parents? Everyone except for parents? Decide what feels right for your family. Well, that's not what your book says. Your book says that I'm supposed to chide Grandma. If Grandma wants a kiss or a hug, then we gotta smack Grandma upside the head. But we have to ask her permission to smack her upside the head. If we do not ask our child for consent, will we respect indications that he or she doesn't want to be touched? Those indications might be nonverbal signs or verbal statements. Okay, let me just tell you something about every kid who has ever been tickled. Every kid screams, I don't want to be tickled, and likes being tickled. Or at least the vast majority of small children do. And it's not the end of the world. You know, I honest to God don't know how we're going to live in this society. Like, legitimately, I do not know how we're going to live in a society with these sorts of rules and standards. Like, I am fully in agreement. I don't touch other people's kids without the permission of their parents. I'm Joe Biden. I'm not touchy-feely. That's not me as a human being. But Are we really going to set standards where if grandma wants to hug grandkid, she has to ask permission first? I'm sorry. My 2-year-old does not get that sort of control over an 89-year-old's life. That's just not the way this stuff works. Talk about a generation of unbelievably spoiled people that are going to be raised by books like this one. Yes, consent is good. Keep your hands on your own body, as my son is fond of saying to other kids. But not the same thing when grandma wants a kiss. Come on. Okay. Just a piece of bad news for you going into the weekend, because that's what you need going into the weekend. Apparently, sugar doesn't improve your mood or make people feel less tired. So that's bad news. There's a new study that finds that devouring a tub of ice cream when you've got the blues or downing a can of soda when you're feeling sluggish may seem like novel pick-me-ups, but don't expect either to actually help out. Apparently, data from 31 separate studies that included over 1,200 participants showed that apparently consuming products with various amounts and types of sugar did not impact mood, including anger, alertness, depression, and fatigue. They found that the idea of a sugar rush or a burst of sudden energy after consuming sugary foods or beverages was nothing more than a myth. In fact, participants were more likely to feel higher.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Correspondent Wally Hines reports that House Democrats filed a lawsuit to stop President Trump's national emergency declaration at the southern border.
The lawsuit alleges the president violated Congress's authority over appropriations by diverting billions of dollars to the wall from other projects. In announcing the lawsuit, Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused the president of, in her words, stealing. House Democrats decided to go to court after they were unable to override the president's veto of a bill that would have blocked the emergency.
Meanwhile, Friday, President Trump was at the border near Calexico, California, saying he has a message for illegal immigrants.
We can't take you anymore. We can't take you. Our country is full. Our area is full. The sector is full. Can't take you anymore. I'm sorry. Can't happen. So turn around. That's the way it is.
Big rebound in the jobs market. Hiring rebounded in March with 196,000 jobs added, as we hear from correspondent Shelley Adler.
Hiring was way up in March.
This is a good, solid report. I think the February report where we only had 33,000 jobs added was an anomaly, and I would expect that we'll see, 150,000 to 175,000 jobs per month added through the rest of 2019.
Gus Fauché, chief economist with PNC Financial Services Group, on signs of a slowing economy.
We are seeing slower growth, but we're not anywhere near a recession. The economy is still expanding, just at a slightly weaker pace.
So far this year, job gains have averaged 180,000 a month, though that's down from last year's average of 223,000. Shelley Antler, Washington.
Former CIA operative, author, and activist Valerie Plame said Friday that she's considering a 2020 run for an open U.S. congressional seat in New Mexico. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
So I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Unplanned, the most important movie you'll see on the most controversial topic of our time. Now playing. Visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Rated R due to graphic scenes not suitable for children.
British Prime Minister Theresa May sought Friday to delay Brexit until June 30 to avoid Britain crashing out without a deal in 1 week's time. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt says that they are trying their best to resolve the Brexit issue.
Britain is not dragging its feet in trying to solve this, but we are a democracy with a hung parliament, so it's not easy. But we are doing everything we can to resolve this, and that's what the British people want.
Hunt says no one wants a long extension to the Brexit deadline.
I don't think the EU member states want a long extension. We certainly don't want a long extension, and that's why we are seeking to resolve this and resolve this quickly. And the reality, the hard reality in a democracy, which points to your first question, is that we have a hung parliament.
An earlier British request for a delay until June 30 was rejected last month. News and analysis at townhall.com. Michigan State has experience on its side in the Final Four against Texas Tech. As we hear from correspondent Mark Myers in Minneapolis.
To get to the Final Four, Michigan State knocked off the tournament's overall top seed, Duke, putting the Spartans two wins away from bringing home a third national title in school history. They'll take on Texas Tech in the second semifinal contest. The Red Raiders have never even been to a Final Four, but they have the Big 12 Player of the Year in Jared Culver, the sophomore guard averaging 19 points per game, the highest of any player on the four remaining teams. The opening semifinal matchup pits Auburn against Virginia. Mark Myers, Minneapolis.
Boeing will cut production of its troubled 737 MAX airliner this month, underscoring the growing financial risk that it faces the longer that its best-selling plane remains grounded after two deadly crashes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
I hope someday somebody proves that what we did was irrelevant.
That day has come. That day has come, James Comey. That day is today. Good Friday to you, and welcome. We continue to reside at 888-630-9625. There's a secret code behind that, but I can't share it with you on account of the oath I took. Another day, and boy howdy, let me tell you. We got Mick Jagger and Jussie Smollett. We got the border going mad. A poll polling Democrats. Now that's P-O-L-L-I-N-G. Democrats on Obamacare. Thanks, Obama. The unemployment rate continues to be at a 49-year low. It's not quite a 50-year low. We're going to have to work a little harder, get it to a 50-year low. And an all-time low unemployment rate for African Americans, for Hispanics, decades low for women. You will see none of that in the news today. And the new unemployment number is up. The unemployment number held steady, but nevertheless, it holds a SNN record. It's 49-year low. That's good enough. You don't have to call it an all-time record. It's a great, great record is what it is for President Trump on unemployment and the economy, in particular when it comes to POC, as liberals like to refer to people of color. Pete Buttigieg. See, I got to get this right. I'm still working. I want you to join me because everybody's working on this. The New York Times is on it. Everybody's on it. Apparently, the correct pronunciation for Pete Buttigieg's name is, in fact, Pete Buttigieg. And it's right here in the New York Times. The New York Times broke the news a couple of days ago. They have it in their headline. Pete Buttigieg. And then this is their headline. In parentheses, it's Boot-Edge-Edge. So really, you got to do Buttigieg? Is that what we're talking about?
Mayor Pete Buttigieg appears poised to make his run official.
Pete Buttigieg. See, there it's now it's Buttigieg. It's Buttigieg. And then edge again. See how that goes? It's three words in one. It's like certs with a drop of Redson, even more so. It's Pete Buttigieg. And Pete Buttigieg, he's on edge a little bit today because it turns out that several years ago he said these words. He said these words, and this has got him in big trouble. He's in deep water now. The Democrat Party, the left, they're very upset with him. He might, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it. But several years ago he said these words in this order. He said, all lives matter. Oh, see, now you can't do that. Who is it that Martin O'Malley, he said that, too. He thought he was running for president for about a nanosecond. And he said, see, he screwed up. He said, all lives matter. And then he had to grovel and apologize and snivel and kowtow. And then they threw him out of the race anyway because he's a, you know, apparently straight white guy. And he was of no use to them. So Pete Buttigieg, he's in big trouble. Because, and I'm not, people think I'm making up the name here. It's right here in the New York Times headline. It's not even in the body of the story, although I think it's there too. But he's in the headline right there, I think. And they reported this before anybody else. They had Trip Gabriel wrote the story for the New York Times. Trip. You know what that means, Trip? You know what that usually means? That means he comes from a very preppy family and that he is like Throckmorton Gabriel the third, or, you know, like Thurston Howell the third. It means you're the third. See, Thurston Howell could have been called Trip because he's the third. And now this guy is Trip Gabriel. I'm thinking it's probably luxury yacht Throckmorton Gabriel the third. But luxury yacht is, it's spelled luxury yacht, but it's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove, which is a little bit of a trick for some people. Buttigieg, I think the New York Times probably in line to win another Pulitzer Prize for this because in their headline, they had the pronouncer for Pete Buttigieg. Therefore, I think the Pulitzer Committee is going to come knocking again. Make room on your shelves, New York Times people, because the Buttigieg pronouncer ought to do it. Bradley Manning, also known as Chelsea Manning, in the news again for another fake news story. And, you know, AOC, we had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez the other day making a big hubbub because Bradley Manning, also known as Chelsea Manning, had the chop-chop fizz-fizz. Oh, what a relief it is, surgery. And we got Mick Jagger today, too. And Bradley Manning, a.k.a. Chelsea Manning, is in the hoosgow, in the can, you see, in jail. Because Bradley Manning, who betrayed his country, see, he was Bradley Manning then and had exterior equipment and all that stuff. And went to prison, was sentenced to 35 years for multiple violations of the Espionage Act because he's a lefty liberal, ran for the Senate in the state of Maryland as a Democrat, didn't get very far because the Democrats are transphobic, gayphobic, homophobic bigots, and so they didn't choose Bradley Chelsea Manning to become the next senator from the state of Maryland. I think it's plain for all to see problems that Democrats have with trans people summed up right there in Bradley Chelsea Manning not becoming the next senator from the state of Maryland. But the AOC and these other crazy people on the left were caterwauling earlier this week that Bradley Chelsea Manning was being held in solitary confinement. in a jail that doesn't have solitary confinement, but that's not important now because facts really don't matter in 2019, especially when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is speaking. And we have more of her today. She's back in the another video of herself gluing something to a floor somewhere. Yesterday, she was shoveling popcorn into her pie hole while babbling about the apocalypse. And today, she's got a new one where she's gluing, I think she was gluing, I didn't look real closely, gluing something to the floor and prattling incoherently about another subject altogether, which is complete lunacy. And we'll certainly get to that, too, because, you know, if it weren't for AOC, where would our country be headed? She is our savior, I think. Between her and Beto F. O'Rourke. Great stuff there. So just a few of the stories we're touching on. And a great one out of Louisiana State University, also known as LSU. A pair of representatives from Talking Point USA, Turning Point USA, Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk, were speaking to students at LSU when crazy woman attacked the stage and got up there and is just being a lunatic. Apparently she's upset because Israel is bad and Hamas is a terrorist organization, but they're poor innocent victims of the terrible Jews. And then she's screaming, Candace Owens, who, in case you don't know, is African-American, yelling something about white supremacy. Is that white supremacy and all this stuff up on stage at a black woman? Now, this is, from what I can tell, it's a white woman yelling at a black woman about white supremacy while she's being dragged away by the police in a straitjacket, thrown into the rubber wagon and grabbed, you know. I mean, these people. This is today's Democrat Party. If you vote for them, you also may not be entirely well. Really, I'm serious. And I love the I do love the whole Pete Buttigieg is in big trouble with his own party because several years ago he dared to say that all lives matter. And of course, Democrats don't believe that all lives matter. They don't believe that. And if you say that, and just to prove that they don't believe that, if you say those words in that sequence, they will attack you. They will threaten to destroy you and your political career and your family if you have one. So that's today's Democrat Party. Jussie Smollett, this is a great story. I love it. Refusing to pay the city of Chicago what he owes them, $130,000. And he's oh, I'm not going to pay. And why would he have to pay anyway? He's an innocent victim of a terrible racist homophobic attack by awful MAGA hat wearing Trump supporting Chicagoans who braved the Arctic blast and 20 degree below zero temperatures to go out looking for Empire actors with noose and bleach. And what's really strange about it is that they're his two friends who are African-Americans that did this, and they yelled the N-word at him, and it's his personal trainer, yelled the F-word, anti-gay slur at him, and they didn't steal anything from him, and then he kept the noose around his neck and called his agent and did whatever he did, his business manager, all of that good stuff. But there's a big update there, and it's a lot of fun, too, the Jussie Smollett story out of beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And there's also Kim Fox is back in the news. She's the so-called prosecutor up there, but never mind her for the time being. Also, going along with the white supremacy thing at Louisiana State University, there's another crazy. These people are just, they're crazy, they're racist, they're completely insane. Google. You know, you're familiar with the company Google. It's a big company here in America, and they spy on everybody. I think that's their thing. Google started a new thing the other day, their AI ethics board, okay? They have, it's artificial intelligence, and because of, you know, robots and inflatable women, I think Mika Brzezinski might be AI and a flotation device. They started this artificial intelligence ethics board at Google because they are the future. And the headline is Google's brand new AI ethics board is already falling apart. One member resigned and two more are under fire, and it's only a week old. Just a week after it was announced, Google's all new AI ethics board is already in trouble. The board,
founded to guide responsible development of artificial intelligence at Google, would have had 8 members and met 4 times over the course of 2019 to consider concerns about Google's AI program. These concerns include how AI can enable authoritarian states, how AI algorithms produce disparate outcomes, yet by design most of the time, though, whether to work on military applications of AI and more. You certainly wouldn't want to work with the U.S. military. Maybe ISIS could use your help. Maybe Russia. You should collude with Russia, I think. Of the 8 people listed in Google's initial announcement, 1 has announced on Twitter that he won't serve, and 2 others are the subject of petitions calling for their removal. Huh, why would that be? K. Coles James, president of the Conservative Heritage Foundation think tank, and Dylan Gibbons, CEO of drone company Trumbull Unmanned. Thousands of Google employees have signed onto the petition calling for the removal of K. Cole James. Now, K. Cole James, president of Heritage Foundation, they're conservative. And these people are, of course, you know, baby-sacrificing lunatics from hell. And they don't want K. Cole James because she's with the Heritage Foundation and that therefore she's a terrible person. Now, the irony of all of this is that they are attacking K. Cole James for being a terrible person, of course, and for being what? For being, well, a racist. See, if there's a racism issue here. The only crazy thing is that K. Cole James is African-American. Just as the lunatic at LSU was shouting about white supremacy to an African-American conservative, Candace Owens, these nitwits at Google are claiming that K. Cole James has to go because, well, let's see, because she's supposed to be anti-trans and seeking to change the definition of women to include men in an order. So they're erasing women's rights. She's a woman. She's an African-American woman, and she's with the Heritage Foundation, and apparently she's not pro-trans enough. And, of course, the Heritage Foundation, you got to look out for the race stuff because it's the Heritage Foundation, and we all know that only liberals and Democrats are not racist, and everybody else is racist. They, of course, exterminate 40% of the black population every year at Planned Parenthood and ask you to send money to them. But never mind the facts. The facts will just get in the way of this excellent story. Now, the Breitbart people have obtained leaked messages that show Google employees freaking out over Heritage Foundation link. And it is just incredible what they're doing. One Google employee saying, "Would we even consider having a virulent anti-Semite on the advisory board? Well, if it's full of liberals, I'm sure that you do. How about an avowed racist or white supremacist? I'm sorry, she's an African-American woman. This seems like a double standard where anti-LGBTQ positions are tolerated more than other extreme discriminatory views." You people are not well. You don't need racists, white supremacists, exterminationists on the board to know their stances. You can just talk to their targets. This is what the Democratic Party has done to millions of people. None of it's true. It's all mental instability. But it's everyday stuff in America today. This is today's Democrat. I'm sorry, what's wrong with this nice woman now? They just make stuff up in their horrible, paranoid frenzy as they crouch in the corner, naked and afraid, shaking and sweating, living in terror of the outside world. Everyone's terrible except me and my friends as they advance the cause of, shall I even begin?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. The Kentucky Derby is the pinnacle of horse racing. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to witness the Kentucky Derby in person. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000. Use it to purchase your dream home or pay off your mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com. The fashion, the mint juleps, the parties. This is your opportunity to experience it all firsthand, thanks to the Rocket Mortgage Homestretch Sweepstakes. Enter for your chance to win $250,000 and one of 20 VIP trips to the Kentucky Derby. The Rocket Mortgage Homestretch Sweepstakes. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course, with the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. Because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet. Starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment is scrapped as optional.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I love this whole Google AI board thing. This is pretty funny. And perfectly representative of the insanity of the Democratic Party and the left. Attacking an African-American woman as a bigot because she doesn't share their views on LGBTQ, which is that if you decide this morning at 9 a.m. that as a man that you're a woman, then you're a woman. And you better not question that. Otherwise, you're a bigot. But I'm an African-American woman who has experienced all kinds of things from people like you. And then there was some discussion. Again, Breitbart has some of the communications from Al Gore's Amazing Internet. And some dared to suggest that there should be viewpoint diversity. And that was slapped back immediately, of course, because they have labeled K. Coles James of the Heritage Foundation, again, African-American conservative woman, as an outspoken bigot who supports policies that dehumanize and marginalize, they say, as they demonstrate their bigotry and attempt to dehumanize and marginalize K. Coles James. But never mind the facts. That's not really their bag, baby. Extraordinary stuff. So they've got this AI board, but it's not going to last because they picked eight people. Three of them are already gone, and they're fighting among themselves because they want to call the African-American woman a bigot, and they're a bunch of white people living in wherever. They're quite amazing. And that, of course, then does lead us to, because it dovetails perfectly with yelling at an African-American woman about white supremacy at LSU with Candace Owens, because these people are not well. This is, and they're looking to take over the country, and they have taken over a large part of the country. These people are flipping crazy, and they have taken over a significant part of the country. They had Barack Obama in the White House. Hillary Clinton would have carried their water for them. AOC is the hero of the revolution in the news media. And you've got, again, the anti-Israel stuff. This LSU thing was more anti-Israel. Just don't call them anti-Semites. They're not bigots. No, Kay James from the Heritage Foundation is a bigot. But not Ilhan Omar. No. Not Rashida Tlaib. No, mm-mm.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
That's a good point. That is a fun point. Michael Piercy just saying as we were coming back, people on the left want to raise the smoking age, the age for smoking cigarettes, not pot, but the age for smoking cigarettes to 21, right? But lower the voting age to 16, okay? They're upset that the Supreme Court the other day affirmed the under the death penalty, you're not guaranteed a painless execution when you're being executed by the state for the horrible crimes, presumably terrible murders that you've committed. The left is irate that the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh ruled that you're not guaranteed a painless death when the death penalty is being administered by the state. And in the same breath, the same people who are caterwauling out loud about Brett Kavanaugh voting in favor of this ruling, voting with the majority in this ruling, that they say he's going to undo Roe versus Wade. And they have no sense of irony, these people. They're angry that murderers, mass murderers, torture murderers, kidnap, torture, rape murderers are going to be executed, and they might feel a moment of discomfort. That makes them irate. And in the next breath, they start screaming in favor of third trimester abortion. Now, if that makes sense to you, you need to see a priest or a counselor or somebody, talk to your mom, talk to somebody, because that doesn't make any sense. Now, if you're intellectually consistent across the board, then I can, then we can have a discussion. But if that makes sense to you, if you can square that in your mind, then there's something wrong with your mind. Absolutely. No death penalty for mass murdering, torture, rapist, kidnapper of children, serial. No death penalty for them. Oh, sure, choice. I'm for choice. Well, my choice is to execute these mass murderers who rape and murder people. That would be my choice on that. How's that for a choice? Oh, no, that's cruel and inhumane. Yeah, sure, but the most innocent. I just love that. They're quite mad. They really are. They're really quite mad. These people are. They're kooky. And every now and then they take over a place or two and they wreck it. Speaking of Venezuela, Venezuelan deputy minister says more Russian troops could arrive, according to the Reuters news agency, which is quoting Interfax, the Russian news agency out of Moscow. Venezuela's deputy foreign minister, Ivan Gil. Isn't it funny how in Latin America a lot of people have Russian names? You know why that is? Because the Soviets were trying to take over Latin America during the Cold War. Ronald Reagan fought against them. Ted Kennedy and the Democrats fought on the Soviet side in that one. It was sort of a low-level Cold War of sorts, and the Democrats were naturally on the wrong side. Ivan Gil said, don't they have a guy, Boris Sanchez, over at CNN? Boris Sanchez, Cuban. Is of Cuban origin, and he's not really, from what I've seen, much for being on our side either. Venezuela's deputy foreign minister, Ivan Gil, said on Thursday he does not rule out that more Russian military personnel may arrive in Venezuela under agreements already concluded with Russia, Interfax news agency reported. The deputy minister also said Russian forces will stay in Venezuela as long as needed, as long as it takes to evacuate Maduro when the military turns against him, and that there is no set period for their stay. See, this is the thing about Putin. You see, Putin is a commie. That's the thing about Putin, is he's an old KGB, Cold War, Soviet-era guy. And to him, he said, remember the greatest tragedy or travesty or whatever it was of the 20th century was the collapse of the totalitarian slave state known as the Soviet Union or the USSR. He laments and regrets and mourns the loss of the old totalitarian days because that's who he is. He's a killer. He's a murderer. And he was raised by killers and murderers. And now they're saddling up with who? With Assad in Syria, where he works against U.S. interests and Trump pounds him and pounded him and took no guff from him at all. And of course, Trump provided actual weapons to Ukraine. Barack Obama sent them socks. Remember that? Socks. Here, have some socks. When you're up late watching Netflix, you're going to want some comfy socks while the Russians are invading. And President Trump sent them anti-armor weapons so they could kill Russian soldiers, which is, you know, considered to be better from the Ukrainian perspective, but never mind that. And here's Putin. He's in there with the Cubans in Havana and the last remaining Castro brother, at least in Cuba. We got a couple of them here. They're Democrats. And now in Venezuela, you see, because he's a commie. And look who he settles up with. You know, all those Arab leaders are all socialists. Saddam Hussein was a big socialist, big, big socialist. His hero was Stalin. That whole pan-Arab movement was a socialist movement, just by the way. And when Putin chooses his friends, you note that his friends are not Donald Trump or the United States of America. They are Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, and they are Raul Castro in Havana, and, of course, in Syria, the Assad regime, Bashar al-Assad, who, again, a pan-Arabist socialist, is Assad. So keep that in mind as the socialist. And where's all the bad stuff happening in the world? Whose side are you on? And that's another reason this whole Russian collusion thing from the Republicans is so patently absurd and was all along. And yeah, the Russians tamper with our elections and a lot of other elections, too. And they've been doing it here for generations. In case you missed the 20th century, I can update you on it from time to time, but you're going to have to do a little reading on your own. See what I'm saying? Now, I'm not even sure. This is Nkechi Diallo. You know who Nkechi Diallo is? Do you know who Nkechi Diallo is? Do you? Yeah, and Michael knows, but he's cheating because I guess we've been, you know, working on it a little bit. Nikichi Diallo, a.k.a. Rachel Dolezal, reaches settlement in welfare fraud case. See, this is utterly racist of her, isn't it? This is, she's a white woman. She I can tell because she has two white parents, and they're both entirely white. And they live somewhere in the Northern Plains. And they gave birth to this girl, and they raised her, and then she went off into the world and became a lefty and lost her mind. And now she thinks she's black, and she goes to tanning salons and gets cornrows and talks funny and gets long fingernails. And then she commits welfare fraud, which is that part of her? It's kind of a racist thing to do if you're pretending to be black, isn't it? The one-time president of the NAACP's Spokane, Washington chapter, Rachel Dolezal, reached a settlement with the state last month regarding her welfare fraud case. Dolezal, who made headlines in 2015, you know, I think that's when Pete Buttigieg said all lives matter. And that's he's gonna regret that. He's going to live to regret that. After her claims of being African-American were debunked by her own parents, reached a diversion agreement on March 25th. Isn't that what Jussie Smollett got, a diversion thing? That required her to pay restitution and complete 120 hours of community service, her attorney confirmed to KXLY on Thursday. I think it's fair and equitable resolution of the matter, Dolezal's attorney, Bevan Maxey, said. Bevan? Bevan Maxey. Yeah, Bevan Maxey. I don't believe she tried to obtain benefits that she wasn't entitled to. The lawyers, it must be Jussie Smollett's lawyer. You've just reached a settlement. She's doing community service and paying money, and they're still saying that she's innocent. Well, she didn't. That was an accidental welfare fraud case, I think. And by the way, there was more. Needless to say, the lawyer said, she's been through a lot. Yeah, she's been through a lot, all right. I believe this is the appropriate way to solve it. Uh-huh. Rachel Dolezal, who is now 41 years old, her parents must be so proud, who changed her name to Nikichi Diallo. Why Nikichi Diallo? You know, there was Amadou Diallo. He was brutalized by the New York City police. Probably chose it for that reason. It's a victim thing. It's a victimology thing. It smacks of I'm a victim, you're a victim, wouldn't you like to be a victim too? She was arrested in May of 2018 on charges of first-degree theft by welfare fraud, perjury in the second degree, and false verification for public assistance. Fox 28 reported she allegedly collected close to $9,000 in state assistance in the period between August of 2015 and November of 2017. That's not very much per month, though, if you break it down per month. Per day, really, it's a bowl of porridge per day. It's not really very much. Really, just a couple of joints and a bowl of porridge per day. I don't know. Come on, can't we just give her a little something? She thinks she's black. Kind of goes to the Google AI thing, where they're attacking a black woman as a bigot because she works for a Heritage Foundation. And somewhere the Heritage Foundation produced a paper saying that you can't just say you're a woman today and a man tomorrow. Now they're up in arms. How dare you, you bigot? Brain scan time, really. It's time for a brain scan. Rachel Dolezal, you may remember, wrote a book in 2015 called In Full Color. Is what tipped investigators off that she'd been cashing in on book sales, speaking engagements, and other sales. No problem. She agrees to the terms of the agreement. Her charges will be dropped. See, it's a diversion thing. This is what happened in Chicago with Jussie Smollett. I was flipping around last night on the television, and there was a movie on, and I don't even know what it was called. I didn't stay because it was terrible. But it was Jussie Smollett's sister, who is like called Jubi or something like that. Another J word. They all have J words. There are a bunch of kids in the family. They all start with J. And I stopped. I said, hey, that's Jussie Smollett's sister. Then I realized it was an awful movie with terrible acting, and I turned the channel because that's, of course, the appropriate thing to do. Now, you may have heard, because I talked about it, The story of one Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger came to the United States. They said he was going to have his heart surgery on Friday. Well, today is Friday. Apparently, he already had his heart surgery. We're just showing off at this point, aren't we, as a country, as a healthcare system? Because if he were in England, I think they were scheduling it for 2032 or something like that, and it wasn't going to work, and they were going to kill him on the operating table. But Mick Jagger, who is 75 years old, get a load of this. He's 75 years old. He has a waist. How big is Mick Jagger's waist? Did you hear this? 28 inches. His waist is 28 inches. That's like the size of a thigh. 28 inches is Mick Jagger's waist, and he's 75 years old. Apparently he's been, according to reports, you can't believe reports because they're just reports, he's been clean and sober. He doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't smoke pot, so they say. He eats real healthy. He exercises 6 days a week, works out, they said, works out 6 days a week, and he walks some large number of miles every day. Now, he came to the United States because he wanted to live and because he wanted to schedule this thing and get it done with so he could get back to work. And if he stayed in England, none of that really would have worked out very well for him. So he made arrangements to come to New York City to have his life saved with a miraculous life-saving medical technique, this operation. He had to have a heart valve replaced, and they didn't even cut his chest. What? No rib splitter. No incision on his chest. He's too skinny, I think, to operate on it. That might be the case. They haven't put out his weight. Have you noticed they haven't put out his weight? It's like 17 pounds. I think it's 17 pounds. It's more than 17 pounds, probably. But in any event, he came to the United States, and now the reports are that he's doing well after surgery. He was down playing on the beach in Miami, I think yesterday, day before yesterday, with his family and having a nice time on the beach and being Mick Jagger. And then he winged up to New York to hang out with Jeff Spicoli and party with the dudes. And then he had his heart surgery. He's doing well, according to the reports, post-surgery. But there is this remarkable thing. The heart valve surgery, the replacement, heart valve replacement that he had is, I heard someone this morning call it a miracle, sort of a medical miracle, which is not what they do in Great Britain. And they don't have medical miracles in Great Britain. They have the Public Health Service. What do they call it? The Royal Health Service or the National Health? I think the National Health Service, NHS. Mick Jagger is on the road to recovery, the New York Daily News reports. The iconic Rolling Stones frontman is doing well following successful heart valve operation in New York, Billboard reported Thursday. Hey, they're quoting Billboard. I should just go there then. He could be released in the next few days and is currently being monitored by doctors, according to the report. Sources told the music outlet that Jagger, who is 75, is in great health. Representative for Jagger did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Comes less than a week after Jagger and the Rolling Stones announced they were postponing an upcoming tour across the United States and Canada because the singer was in need of medical treatment. Notice he didn't go to Canada for his medical treatment either. The band did not officially announce what Jagger was being treated for. Doctors have advised Mick that he is expected to make a complete recovery so that he can get back on stage as soon as possible, Rolling Stone said in a statement. Jagger expressed his disappointment in a tweet that they weren't going to be able to do the tour, but never mind all that. And here's the thing. The surgery is pretty crazy. It's a catheter-based heart valve replacement. It is an aortic valve replacement surgery. It used to mean physically taxing open heart procedure. Big cut down the center of your chest, and they crack your sternum, then they put the rib splitter in and they open it up, and like a jackal-like alien leaps out and grabs you by the teeth. And it's called the TAVR, all right? It's a minimally invasive form of surgery. Surgeons thread a catheter with a new valve on the catheter. They make an incision on the thigh and insert it in your main artery there in your thigh. Run it up. They've been doing heart surgery like this forever, but not valve replacement surgery. It crushes the old valve in place, and it moves the new valve into place, and bada-boom, lickety-split, you got a new heart valve. The old one is pushed out of the way, no longer operable. Don't even have to remove it. Put it right in there. The United States of America has the greatest healthcare system in the history of mankind. We should all be very grateful that we live in such a wonderful, wealthy, capitalist country where we develop and invent these miraculous procedures that will allow Mick Jagger, with his 28-inch waist, can you imagine how skinny his thigh is with a 28-inch waist, that they had to cut and get to the aorta, get to the artery in his thigh and run this thing up there? Sure, catheter-based surgery. Not a big incision, no cutting in the chest and the torso. And before you know it, a shadoopy. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I'm Alexandra. I'm the styling director at Guilt Group.
I've always believed that when a woman is in an outfit that she loves, she not only looks amazing, but she feels amazing too.
What am I working for? To inspire confidence through style.
At ADP, we're designing a better way to work so you can achieve what you're working for. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people. Learn more at design.adp.com.
There's a real war against Christians in America. Now, David Horowitz's new bestseller, Dark Agenda, reveals the secret efforts in Congress, the media, even our schools and military to destroy Christianity. President Trump is fighting back, but Dark Agenda exposes the danger for him and you. Tucker Carlson says you must read this disturbing but vital book. Get David Horowitz's Dark Agenda at bookstores, or check out the free offer by going to darkagenda911.com, darkagenda911.com, or call 1-800-NEWSMAX today.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
NASA put it up, 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 up. Mick Jagger. There are many stories to get to today on the border, on Jussie Smollett, on the president heading down to the border, on Pete Boot Edge, and the missing boy story. And, of course, Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk at LSU with crazy person, crazy lefty people. What's wrong with you people anyway? But listen, the Mick Jagger, Michael Piercy reminded me during the break, Mick Jagger had a child by a woman, which is how that used to be done in the old days, named Melanie Hamrick, had a child, his most recent child, I can't say his last child, his most recent child in 2016. So he's got he had a baby boy in 2016, and that baby boy is, see, Mick has great-grandchildren by other women, and then he had a new baby boy, and it's a little tangled. The great-grandchild, Ezra, I'll have to explain it in a minute. It's a little tough. It's a tangled web of genetic intrigue.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.